Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 192. Everybody's back.
Yay!
I was waiting. Was wow! Man.
Yeah!
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah, you
know, response.
Tell us we need a cheer.
I'm sorry.
We can start the wave.
Well, you can start throwing things like usual.
One
Pat,
time.
Smash.
Ah, Pat!
apparently,
that's what happened.
Josh
he
got,
just wanted to give you one that was flat, so you couldn't do that.
Josh got a flat pop out of the cooler.
So. Wah wah.
Still costs the same though.
Nothing. Oh wait, now.
No, those are yours that you don't pay for, you jerk face.
I try to.
Yeah.
How do you try to pay for something?
No, text me when I'm at home and say, "Oh,
no,
I forgot
I
to pay for that coat."
I texted you about that.
I'll be like, okay.
So deal with it.
He replies back with his PayPal information.
Yeah, I could do that. That's not
I
a bad
do
idea.
That. That is a good idea.
Could have done that.
You start taking
too late.
Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm too old to even understand.
One Bitcoin will buy all of the pop in there.
Yeah. Oops.
Ba-da-da.
Somebody paying my Bitcoin.
It's a podcast question.
It is not.
Would you sell? Sell
no, no. Somebody wants me to put them down for all the Dark Side one-shots.
You said no.
No, but I ordered at Justice League numbers, or just a little bit below Justice League numbers, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Are you giving it to them if they have Justice
I
League?
I thought about it, but then I kind of said no.
It's a little off.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's a little bit off, so it'll be. I'll
well, you're
have plenty.
Ordering big numbers.
Yeah, I'll have plenty. I just didn't want to assume, especially I think there's eight or ten, and just that seemed to.
Are they $2.99 or?
I think they're $3.99.
Yeah, I thought there were
in the book
because it
yeah,
was well, it was Batman, Superman, Flash, Wonder Woman,
Green
Lex
Lantern.
Luthor, Green Lantern, Shazam, so maybe eight, seven,
Cyborg,
somewhere around there. Yeah, I don't remember.
It
did say six in there, yeah. But I definitely know there was a Shazam and a Lex Luthor because those are the ones I was trying to figure out how to order on. But after reading the issue that came out today, it'll be fine. I'll be fine. Batman, could have sworn they're Wonder Woman, Superman, Flash. Maybe not Green Lantern. Green Lantern, I don't remember him being in that issue.
I don't think they've done a very good job of advertising for this.
No, they blew it, because first they called it Gods and Men.
Yeah.
Right when they come out with a movie called Gods and
Monsters,
and a book supporting it. So I think their numbers were down.
Six one-shots.
Okay.
So there's our criticism on DC for today.
No, they
equal
no,
yeah, DC,
no.
Get on, get with it.
It's funny.
Get a job.
Get a job, DC.
Hang on. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight, the grumpy group here is
Josh, Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich.
Okay. My buddy Jermaine, Lord Retail, down in. Well, that's his Twitter handle, is Lord Retail. So, but it was funny. We were messaging today, and I kept getting
President Business.
Business, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a villain from
I keep getting, I kept getting Twitter messages, and it would say Lord Retail. And it was like, ooh, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, Lord Retail. You got Professor Duty. You know?
Yeah.
That's a crazy.
But he always waits, or not waits. He every Tuesday night he goes home and like plows through every new book that came out and gives a quick little Twitter thing. Not, and some he doesn't like. If he didn't like it, he wouldn't do it. So he made a comment about one, and I was getting back to him. It was actually Spider-Man I was talking to him about. But he mentioned about Martian Manhunter saying this book needs more eyes, and I agree. Not so much on that one. Just I haven't read it. But I think DC did a really bad job marketing all this stuff. There was, yep. I mean, look at all the hype Marvel's doing, and there was so little hype. And I actually found...
Yeah, except for DC did those 8-page previews and all that.
They
stuff.
Did them there,
but
the things
thing
for me to hand out, and they did do one. They did, for the DCU, they did do a thing, but it was all prose with pictures. And I looked at the Prez one, and it said, basically, hey... Teenage girl gets elected president via Twitter. And I'm like, that's so not what the book...
But maybe they learned because they did it for the Vertigo books
yeah.
this time.
Yeah, they've done. Yeah, they did a good job with the Vertigo books, and those are selling well. But for a Vertigo book, where I'm, I sold out of 10 copies of Twilight Children,
those
which isn't anything to write home about. 10 copies, but that's really high on the Vertigo end.
Because it's not saying that they brought out things... this wave that have been bad. Like, there have been really
no,
good
I
things.
Just think they didn't promote them enough. Martian Manhunter, they just threw out there.
Marvel over-promotes.
Right.
And DC under-promotes.
Right.
I feel like they both need to
they're
kind of
they're always on
the
that
middle.
Opposite, like, that opposite wavelength. Like, they're always doing the other way.
My problem with the Marvel promotion is it's too early.
Yeah.
Like, they were already promoting twos and threes before the ones come out.
I get your critique of that, but I almost feel like they have to do it to get people to jump on board the way they do.
Okay.
People jump on board those Marvel books.
They do, but, like, they showed the reveal of Mary Jane hooking up with Tony Stark in Iron Man 4 before one came. And I had a guy come in and said, is this the one with Mary Jane? I'm like, no, that's not going to be for another 3 months. What? So,
yeah,
there's the problem.
Confusion. I'm not saying that that's a good thing for the retailers or even for...
Or even for the fans. Because they don't...
fans,
they
but
come
it, definitely
in.
Is, it definitely gets people interested because they keep doing it, too, for a while. It's just once that book finally comes out, then it's suddenly dead to their marketing team. And
well, but then they're already on to issue 8. And it's just... I wish they'd spend a little more time promoting now.
Mm-hmm.
Promote what came out this week. Yeah. You know, I would have loved to see them promoting Uncanny Inhumans and Ant-Man this week. Well, they're not. They're promoting what's coming out in November. They're promoting what's going to be in the next previews for January.
Yeah.
They're just always ahead.
They're ahead of the game.
Do you think
I think they kind of ruined the excitement for like things that they have in the works, like because you're already trying to deal with this, and I can't get excited for the next.
I wonder if they think that when you're that close that all the marketing or promotion is now going to come down to you guys. Where you're actually talking to people.
But it would be nice for them to say out this week. You know, but part of the problem is when they start way too early, like they have with a lot of stuff. I remember specifically it was the Defenders. Matt Fraction's Defenders run, spinning out of Fear Itself.
Yeah.
And they were promoting that so far ahead, and they even did a little promo book with the same cover of number one. By the time number one finally came out, it had been the cover of previews. It had been the cover of this preview book. By the time it actually came out, it was kind of like, haven't I already read this? I've seen this cover so much that it doesn't seem new.
Run the whole thing.
Because they promoted it so much and it sold for crap. But, so I think sometimes there can be too much. And a lot of it's unwarranted. You know, like with Iron Man number one, you know, and all the talk of it breaking the internet and stuff. And I don't...
It's a warranted and... It's gimmicky.
And you get that, you know, this changes everything. Or even the promotion for Secret War.
It's
the end of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever be the same. Well, except we've already shown you it hasn't ended yet, but nothing changed. So.
And it's funny because it's true. Because
well, it is.
Like,
but it's not even
lying.
Not even
that's
like
exactly
they're trying to
is.
Make it different. But, I mean, we already got issue 2 of Spider-Man and... Iron Man this week. So what issue are we going to be on by the time number 9 finally ships?
Yeah.
Which number they're still 9. Adhering to this schedule of it shipping this the third week of
9.
December. I'm like, you got to get 3 more issues out.
Number 9's coming out?
Yeah. They're expecting to get 3 issues out in 8 weeks.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think so either.
It'll be 2016.
I think it'll be well into 2016.
And for me, like, the last couple issues have not been... good enough to sustain mm-hmm. that.
It, like I said, it might have been good if it was just the next issue and it had been a month, but that was 9 weeks between the last two.
What's
and
stopping
that was,
it, though?
My guess is the artist.
Everything. It has to be the artist because the writer's gone.
Right. But then my question is, can the artist suddenly get 3 issues out in 8 weeks when it took him 9 weeks to do the last one?
I doubt it.
And unless, you know, they'll never say why. I don't know if he was sick or hurt or what. But it just... But my fear is now they're already past. They're already on issue 4 of the relaunch. They don't care about Secret Wars.
The writer is gone. Hickman's not doing anything with Marvel.
No, he left.
Oh, I didn't know he left.
Yeah,
Marvel.
He left. Yeah, he left Marvel. Remender left Marvel.
I knew Remender left. I didn't realize Hickman.
No, Hickman. He's because dying in the dead, and he wants to do.
You don't hear about it because it's not vocal.
Yeah, they're not allowed to talk about. You know,
but I mean, Remender.
It's like
about
Fight
that
Club
one.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like you just don't hear.
But they didn't say they left because they just said, "Hey, we're concentrating on other things." Where when they leave DC, it's like, burn the place down.
Yeah.
Boo! Because they didn't sign a contract saying
you didn't market. Whatever, Dr. Fate. Oh, well.
What?
It was an interesting cover for today's Dr. Fate.
Yeah. He didn't like it. I liked it. But that was different. It made sense for the story, I think, because he's trying to handle a bunch of things all at once.
I have my special views of what covers should
Colin
be.
Colin thinks
like
Dr. Hate. It should be like, you know, giant lobster man and things like that. And
that would be awesome. Yeah. They need to sell the book.
Sell the book, yeah.
Colin's still hoping for the Firehouse Subs variant cover most.
Brisket of Champions.
Oh, speaking of Champions, that Contest of Champions book?
Uh-huh.
No, because this made me confused.
I don't know how brisket but segue.
No, because you said of Champions, and that rang it in my head, where I thought that was Maestro from Future Imperfect and Secret Wars.
Yeah.
It's not. It's from the video game. That's a video game tie-in book. I had no idea the Contest of Champions was a video game.
I think they tried to trick us. Yeah. I really do.
Because the way they set it up, it's the Maestro everything, and that was one of the better-selling Secret Wars books. You know, that one hit double digits. so I ordered it as spinning out of that, and I did not realize that it was a video game tie-in. That made me angry.
So.
Right, well, it's an app or whatever.
Oh, okay.
You know, kids these days.
Did you wear that shirt today in hopes you were going to buy the Batmobile?
No, I wore that today, too.
Yeah, it's not
I thought you didn't know you were going to get it until you walked in.
No, I knew I was going to get it, and then when he said he didn't have it on reserve for me, then I thought I wasn't going to get it, and I was a little pissed.
Oh, what a...
Did I take care of you?
You did take care of me. Okay. I got my Batmobile.
Adam, you don't have a Batmobile.
Did you order one, too?
No. See, he didn't. He just slapped his name on one.
I actually told him before, but I don't think... I probably didn't tell him at a time where he was totally registered.
He yelled it at me as I was driving away.
I was like, "Colin, Batmobile!"
It's all handled. There's four more coming. There's four more coming. All is well.
Debbie, if you're listening, there's four more coming. Batmobiles.
I can get more. If I need to order more, maybe I'll just up it to six, get a whole case.
You need to get two figures with them, too.
That's not going
to
sell here.
Yeah.
I think you'll sell them.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to do more prep for tonight. I apologize. Today was a bad day, medically. Just a bad wheel.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. No, it's not a tumor. It's
you have everyone all concerned now.
No, it's a gout flare-up.
Like, he's
dying. No, it's a gout flare-up. And I'm just thinking about, while Pat's doing his news, walking back to the computer to get some stuff out of it. And then I just kind of went, no.
Like, Colin died today. Yeah.
Send Adam.
Yeah, at the age of...
No, it's
so. This is a store closing announcement.
No, God, don't even shush. Knock on wood. Good Lord, where's wood? No, there's. Before we get to Pat's news, I'm sorry. Stop. Yeah, with no money.
You have the rich man's disease.
You could sell all the back issue. Rich man's disease.
Well, like I was telling, there was a gentleman here who apparently has it as well, and I was talking about it, and like they gave me a list when I was first diagnosed with gout, and it has a list of all the foods you should avoid, and the only item on the entire list was asparagus that I had ever eaten. It was pheasant and quail. Kidneys, you know, it's no organ meat, no game bird, stuff like this. I'm like, I've never had any of that.
So Sandy is spiking.
Yeah,
with pheasant.
But it was just so funny. But I'm just looking. I'm like, but that's why it's called the rich man's disease, because those things are bad. But
asparagus was like,
yeah, asparagus apparently is high like food. In that. But yeah, so I don't know exactly what
it looks like. Little spears.
Did you guys form a group, like
support group?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Hugs.
No.
He was like, "This is a place to go." It was like Fight Club.
It's Colin Basement
Club.
No stairs.
Don't have to talk about Gout Club because everybody knows you're all in the room.
First rule, Gout Club: there are no game birds at Gout Club.
I hate you.
That's not making fun of you. That's making fun of gout.
Yeah, that should be okay.
Yeah. It's about gout.
Something I've seen online a little bit, and there was a post on The Beat yesterday about it, and it was talking about, the one on The Beat was talking about the failure of the direct market, and it was funny because I was reading it, and, you know, how bad the direct market is, and, you know, people's fates are tied in the hands of retailers and all this stuff, and I was sitting there thinking about it. Again, I wanted to finish reading the article, but I didn't have time, so I was thinking about it, and it was... You know, like, okay, what's your alternative? You know, you have this small little book that you didn't get enough orders from, but do you really think you're going to be able to get orders from Walmart or Barnes & Noble, which are, like, your only two other options, or Amazon? It's like, why are you dumping on the direct market? But what's
their problem with you guys? Why do they think?
Because we're so inefficient, and we're run by only fanboys that only order Marvel and DC and don't try anything else.
But obviously, they've never been in here.
Well, it's not so much me.
Oh crap! What was? My Facebook started playing. It was on mute.
Why are you on Facebook when I'm talking?
Why does Facebook make that sound?
It was a video add on.
This is Quest music.
he's wearing a Zelda costume. That's what
he's not Zelda.
You bought the dress, or we're talking about like chic?
No, I bought the shield and the sword
and the ears.
I didn't buy the ears.
The hat and the ears and the little long wig.
Braid.
Yeah. But one of the things I was talking about was pre-orders, and the discussion was a little bit, you know, why should it be on the creators to generate all this stuff? And it's like, well, I mean, and I feel like yelling at these people going, have you ever seen the previews book? You know, pick it up and flip through it and try to guess how many to order of this stuff. And that's the importance of the pre-orders. And what I wanted to find is, I was going to go look, was Doctor Strange, which I sold out of immediately 2 Wednesdays ago. I think I had 3 pre-orders for it at the time of my order. 3 mm-hmm. people had asked me for it. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I blew through 35 copies right away, but
yeah,
you know, I'm going with a gut instinct on something.
I didn't love that book. It was so.
I liked it. The best review I saw online, I think it was Mikey Wood, said it was a great issue of Constantine. And when I thought about it, they're absolutely right. A house call to get rid of a demon out of a kid, going to a bar. And then kind of messing with somebody outside of his house.
That feels very
it was accurate. Much more Constantine than it was
did
Doctor
feel
Strange.
Like Doctor
no,
Strange
it didn't.
At all.
It didn't. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I think Bocciolo is perfect for the art on it, for showing the weird stuff. But it was just, I just kind of wanted to use this as an example. Just, you know, I'm trying to guess as to how to order this stuff. And it's not easy, you know. Especially with Marvel, you know, like Doctor Strange, I was going to order 50. I pulled it back to 35 because it's a $5 book. And I'm like, if I'm wrong, like I was with Spider-Man, I was off by 30 copies on Spider-Man. That's too many. I haven't even hit what I sold in the issue 18 of the previous run of Spider-Man.
That's
so,
rough.
Yeah. So that's why now granted, this is just my store, but the relaunch was not effective. You know,
I jumped off. I'm guilty of that too. I jumped off.
Yeah.
Was
so,
52 hard for you to?
No, 52 was awesome.
It was able. You were able to say Batman numbers.
Oh yeah.
Past New 52, and you were able to because
huge,
it didn't change.
But remember,
much.
There was returnability.
Oh yeah, it's true. I forgot.
It was great, and I had
was like $6 though too, wasn't it?
The Spider-Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have 30 extra copies of a $6 book.
And
that hurts.
If that book was 4, maybe in 5, I would have maybe tried to.
No,
$6 felt like a slap in the face. Like, no way. Same creative team.
And the other problem is you get to the middle, literally at the Staples, the story ended, and the entire back half was previews to all the other Spider Family books.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I'm not going to pay extra for that. Yeah.
Well,
online, you go to a comic.
That was how they did
site.
The New Number one before that. They had, like, it was half in the previews, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No,
previews.
it was Inhuman 1.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it was Inhuman.
But it was still expensive.
Well, no, but that's actually okay that you actually got
to. You're trying to get someone
block.
To get. Yeah,
right.
But I don't know if you're going to sell your Inhuman audience.
But actually,
audience.
That one had other Spider-Man short stories in the back.
Yeah.
This one was purely, here's our Web Warriors preview.
Yeah.
Here's our Spider-Gwen preview.
That
and
sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, and I have to assume the other 28 people that didn't get it.
Well, they sold it as a James Bond book.
Oh, they did, and
it
wasn't.
It wasn't, so, I don't want to read Spider-Man being James Bond. Sorry.
And you if you bought the Iron Man book, then it was not as much, had a really nice paper to it, and if you bought that...
No, it didn't. It had a nice cover with a regular
cover
underneath it.
No, that's what I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The cover.
People are going to take the whole thing. They're going to buy it and sue you.
The cover was really nice. And then you bought this, $6 book? And you didn't.
The funny thing
is,
because the cover was so nice, our FOC on that, I think, was 3 or 4 weeks
ahead.
Yeah. We had to put in our final numbers on that
way
early.
We're not used to using real paper. We need more time.
Yeah. Only on the cover. But then we put a regular cover underneath.
Story.
I totally don't understand that. But
counts for
that's
page count
new
that
for
way.
Them, though. They've been doing that They did that Star Wars when they did what? The six
print. No, that was a mistake. That was just that was just
it almost leaves like the same thing.
Though. Yeah, that was just
always having cover problems.
That was funny. No, that was an ad problem. They just literally reprinted number one, but they realized that the ad in the back hadn't been paid for, so they had to put another cover with a ad that was paid for over it. Yeah, that was the problem. I can't make this stuff up, guys. But yeah, so but it was just I'm gonna send her a long letter. Not I didn't want to put a comment on her on the blog because that. Although Brian Hibbs made a couple comments and I actually agreed with him, which is very rare. Not that Brian's bad or anything, we just have kind of differing views. But yeah, it's just a lot of, you know, I'm like, why is the, I don't understand why the direct market is so bad. But I know everybody doesn't carry all the stuff I do, but it's tough though. You know, for, you know, a lot of things I'll order one or two copies of. And then the other thing I wanted to say to them was, and the problem then becomes on their end, let's say I ordered two copies and people loved them and I need more and I can't get any more. You know, it's like, where are we going there? You know, don't ask me to, you know, blindly order 20 copies of some random book that I have no idea. But the biggest problem I have is not being able to get more. And it's not just them, it's Titan. Like Titan, who's doing Doctor Who, they have this book called Rivers of London that apparently is huge in England. And this writer's huge. It's basically like Harry Potter meets something else. I ordered two. You know, I have no idea what this Rivers of London is or who this guy is. And sold out and haven't been able to get any more back in. I'm like, well, where are we going? You know, okay, so it'll be good when the trade comes out. Great.
Yeah, but that's but, 6-7 months away.
Yeah, so it's like they were just all these shots at the direct market. And I'm just like, we're the ones with our, you know, wallets open.
Yeah.
You know, and as for as much online talk and chatter and, oh, I love that book and all that stuff. Like the guys at DC said, if everybody that said how much Omega Men was their favorite book actually bought Omega Men, it wouldn't have been canceled. So that's my editorial for today. Pat?
That was a good editorial.
Yeah, that Thank was.
You. Very well spoken.
I'll go back to sleep.
Well spoken. Nice, I hate people say
wow.
So you're the voice of reason.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not either of us.
Oh, yeah. No. Wasn't Adam.
No, we never suspected that.
Dr. Hate.
No, we had it wrong.
Well, not a lot
you
of
thought it. You were the comic relief. No offense.
What happened to Pat's news?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of news today, but first thing was apparently Fox and Marvel are going to work together, and there's going to be two X-Men related television series. One is going to be Legion, and the other one is going to be Hellfire, which is supposed to...
Let's see how either of those can be TV shows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the Hellfire thing, because the X-Men First Class kind of covered that, and killed off Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw, and...
They're not dead.
Well, Shaw was. He got the Nazi coin right through the brain. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's dead. No, and Emma's dead too, because yeah, I think they showed her as one of the autopsy pictures.
Oh, okay. That's only if it ties in with the movies.
I can't see why it won't.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. And then Legion, you know, the character everyone's
loves.
Yeah.
Because that X-Men Legacy book sold so well.
Yep. The rumor that came out of this, which was hilarious and was knocked down immediately by both Fox and Marvel, was that in order for Marvel to okay Fox doing these two TV shows, Marvel got the rights to the Fantastic Four back.
And, that was a big rumor, yeah.
Yeah, and they immediately denied that. But people still ran with it like it was the gospel, which was hilarious. I'm a little surprised that didn't happen. I mean, that kind of makes sense because of how poorly the last Fantastic Four movie did. And
not even like it did bad, or critically did bad, but we still made money on it.
No.
Like the previous ones. Like it was flat out bad.
No, it made as much money in its entire 9-week run as
the Colin made today.
Pretty close.
Redbox is going to get my dollar when it comes out.
He sold a lot of Batmobiles today. But it made as much in its 9 weeks as the 2004 movie did in its opening weekend.
I thought you went and saw it in the theater. I thought you said you had.
I thought you said you saw it.
Fantastic Four? No.
Yeah, because I remember talking about your.
There was something you said. You had you were like,
I have to go see it.
I work
the store.
No, well, normally I would, but everything came back so poorly, it's like there's really no point in. What about that? I saw Sin City 2 in the theater.
Okay.
How was that? That good, eh?
No, it was funny. It was a very funny situation. No, it was a funny situation because I had one of those the reward cards. So when I took the whole group to see Guardians of the Galaxy when we were at the beach that summer, I got a free ticket. I guess I had earned enough points for a free ticket. So I had this free ticket in my pocket. And I went out to South Hills Village, and I had my... Or no, it was actually Regal down in Washington. So I had my free ticket. And then I was waiting to get popcorn, and the lady in front of me was making a big stink about it was supposed to be $2.50 for candy that day, and it was ringing up as $4, and the poor girl behind the counter didn't know what to do. And I'm looking at my watch going... The movie starts in like 3 minutes, and I bailed on the popcorn.
Yeah, but then there's like 20 minutes of previews.
Right, but
I like seeing the previews.
So
do I too, but
so I'm like, okay, I guess this is a completely free experience. You know, no, didn't pay for the ticket, didn't pay for the popcorn, didn't have a drink because I literally couldn't. I mean, and it looked like it was going to take, because the manager came over and he didn't know how to fix it, and it was just one of those. Yeah, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. Oh, Cubs.
3-0.
Oh, Cubs. And I was the only one in the theater, so I had a private showing for free of Sin City 2, which wasn't a bad movie. The problem is at least one of the stories wasn't in the books, and there was no payoff to it. You were waiting for a twist, and it never happened. And then the other part was good, especially, Ava Green had some nice nude scenes, after seeing her on...
Way to make it creepy. Yeah.
No, it was nice. It was nice to look at.
To be honest, other than the James Bond movie, I don't think she's clothed in anything. She does.
So, but no, that was good. Everything
it's
was good.
It's a family podcast.
No, it is. Well,
he's not showing.
He says it was good.
But the problem with it was when the first Sin City movie came out, it was like, I don't want to say groundbreaking, but it was. With the blue screen and all that, it looked exactly the same. So it was very much a, I've already seen this. You know, there was nothing new
to it.
Well,
the story could carry it, though.
Yeah, and it was like, it used parts of two stories and then added this new one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That
not interesting.
No, and you kept waiting for the twist, and then the guy just gets killed at the end. It was just like, he kept scamming.
Spoiler alert, I haven't seen it.
He kept scamming these, he kept scamming
the hookers?
No, the casino guys. And kept making all this money, and he was the golden child and everything. And then at the very end, they shoot him. And you're just like, okay, what was the point of that? It just, there was no...
No, I thought he was going to go with the hookers, like Rosario Dawson.
No, but she wasn't the hook. Well, they were in there. They were in it as well.
Yeah.
But no, it was... But they Ava Green was the girl, the dame you kill for, which was the very first Sin City I ever read, so I was really looking forward to that. And again, everything was right, but it just wasn't as ooh as the first one was.
Gotcha.
That's all. But for free, it was fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, because there wasn't much news anyway. The Star Wars trailer debuted Monday.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about this.
Yeah.
When's that movie coming out?
In December.
What's it going to be about?
Apparently, it's only going to be out for one day, so everyone is flooding Fandango to buy tickets for the 18th.
I was reading something today where people were selling tickets on eBay for thousands of dollars for opening night.
And I hope people buy them.
There is no movie
instead of the tickets being shipped, people are up to door and just take them away for being the stupidest people on the planet.
There was apparently a package where you would get a limo ride and all that. It was a VIP package for $10,000. Look, I wouldn't go see Batman versus Superman if Ben Affleck picked me up in a damn Batmobile, drove me there in costume, and bought me popcorn.
Why are you so angry, Pat?
I wouldn't pay $10,000 for that. No. There's no movie I want to see that bad.
I love Star Wars. Man, I hate all this freaking hype and how everyone's losing their minds over everything.
Yeah, too
much. Like, every time I see...
Again, too early. I mean, we're 2 months away. But I get it, but
still Disney. It's still Marvel.
For a movie, that's not
No, that's true.
But, like, on Monday, when the trailer came out, social media is just everyone.
But everybody buying the tickets this early.
Well, yeah, that. Yeah, but like on social media, everyone just saying like, "Oh, I sobbed. I was crying watching the trailer." Like, what
the hell is wrong with you?
Get a life.
You got a little too much.
Like,
it was good. It was I liked watching.
Like, I'll admit, like when that first teaser happened, where you saw Han and Chewie at the end, they said, "Oh, Chewie, we're home.
We're home." Yeah.
That, like, you know, definitely got, like, you know, the emotions went up. But a standard trailer after we've already had the other ones, like,
why? The other thing that's bothering me about the whole thing is that everybody's so mad about Luke Skywalker not being on the poster and in the preview. No,
well, I think that that's just because there's.
I like how everybody has to know
they,
so much.
Well, no, I hate when they give away the whole movie. Yeah. In a trailer or on, you know, the poster gives away the twist. It's like, no, keep
that
secret. I like.
Obviously, this is going to be a big plot point of the movie of what's going on with Luke, and they are keeping that hidden, and that is fine with me. I don't want to know anything.
Oh, no. I don't want to know anything more than that.
More than what I've seen.
I don't
right
care
now.
About knowing like certain characters' names or stuff like that. But
well,
I don't
even
know
that
much
they
about
said
it.
They said that they were keeping some of the characters' names secret intentionally too, which kind of gives away. All right, they're Solo's kids. They have to be. Yeah.
Well, one of them they just called Finn.
Yeah.
And it's just like that's it. And there has to be more to that. Than,
well, yeah, he's the
I don't remember
the kid
name.
That was a, it's.
Ray or something.
Yeah,
like
that? Ray or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just find it strange that you know they just introduced Han Solo has a wife who happens to be black, and they're not giving you Finn's name. Yeah. I'm thinking that's his kid.
It's a possibility.
Just a thought.
They. I like.
I hope he's Lando's like kid.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely.
And Han
awesome.
Actually thinks it's his kid.
Three Jedi and a baby.
Yeah.
Lando slept with Han's wife, and
That's where it was going.
Luke hooked up at some point, so it's three men and a baby, but it's Jedi.
Ooh. I bet Luke's still a virgin.
I do too. Because they got rid of got rid of the expanded universe stuff, so yeah, he never got married.
Mm-hmm. Poor Luke.
He's just living in a cave somewhere.
Use the force, Luke.
So R2, are you a pleasure unit?
Oh,
R2 does not compute.
R2's not
cool.
Duncan.
Lame.
He's not awesome, O.
That was the only boy. He just broke out with his
voice.
Did
R2 just fart? What a great episode.
And the last bit of news I got, because I actually just saw this today, I don't know if you saw the, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, the Batmobile from the 1966 TV show was sold for $4.2 million, and the guy that bought it was like, oh, I'm such a big Batman fan, if my wife would let me, I'd have it in my living room, this thing. Well, now he's selling it.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, I got in this argument with my wife today, because I said, if I had $5 million, I'd totally buy the Batmobile. I said, well, don't you know what you could do with $5 million? I said, there is no argument you can make to me that on the other hand, I'm going to say, but it was the Batmobile. It's not a Batmobile, it's the Batmobile. It's the one that Adam West sat his ass in and drove on a TV show. You can't beat that. So,
what were some of her counter arguments?
You could start an animal shelter. You could help starving kids. You could. I'm like, nope, sorry. It's the Batmobile.
Will you entertain the kids with the Batmobile.
Well, yeah, will you drive the kids around?
No.
Oh, well.
I'm going to let some little brat sit in a Batmobile and probably like.
Well, Batman did.
What a dick. They could be your Robin.
You got a bunch of them.
Yeah, that's creepy, though.
Well, yeah, it was always
With the exception of Damien, which is just child endangerment, all the other ones are kind of creepy because they're not his kid.
It's creepy that Bat's picking up a bunch of kids in a Batmobile and
saying,
you're Robin now. Yeah, that is kind of creepy.
Wear these tights.
Put these clothes on.
Put on these tights. Yeah, I think that would do it.
Oh, jeez.
See?
Is that the news, Pat?
That's the news.
Well, that's it.
There wasn't anything. Sorry.
But what about no?
But what about what?
Yeah.
No, kidding.
See, exactly. There's no news.
Whatever.
Sorry. Well,
I already did my editorial. What's your editorial, Josh? How was your trip?
It was good. It was a good trip. I cheated on you. Went to a different comic book shop on Wednesday.
I was looking at pictures, and then I missed what Pat said, and then I said the same thing. I know you sent me pictures.
I was sending you pictures to show you how their store is laid out, and I think your store is much better than that store I was in, so I won't name the name of the store.
Well, different shapes and things like that.
Yeah, but like you saw one picture, I said they had an old previews catalog up there on the shelf to buy from like four months ago.
Yeah, well, but I think part of that is a case of...
But there's customers that will try to buy stuff out of that still, so it's okay.
Well, no, but it's a case that something they paid money for. They're, you know, hoping someone might come in looking for an older one. I get that.
Yeah.
I have four-month-old issues on the shelf. You know, it's just... I get it. For them, it's just a piece of merchandise.
But I think my biggest complaint with that particular store, and every year I go, like, I buy something I support. I mean, not large support, but I support something in every year. But the one thing they do that I don't like is on their shelves, they put all their trades in their single issues together.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
And the single issues are slid into the bookshelves just like a trade would be. So it's very compact. And if you have to take something out to look at it and put it back in, it's very hard to put it back in without bending the issue.
That's dumb.
And you can't see what the issues are. They have like tags sticking out that say new this week or new last week, but you just have to assume, well, I think I'm in the right section alphabetically. I guess this is the book I want. And I wanted to pick up Twilight Children because I didn't have it on my list here. I figured that'd be a good one to buy because it had a tougher cover, so it would travel better with me. And I had to, like, grab three different books before I finally grabbed the right one.
That's
awful. So it's kind of cumbersome there.
Yeah.
But
Juju's Era Podcast.
Is it a space issue? Is that why they do it?
They have a lot of, like, manga stuff and prose books and just, you know, pop culture related type books that take up a lot of space. Yeah. So all the comics and traditional trades take up one wall that runs the length of the store, with the exception of like the kids stuff, which, you know, is split up into some different sections. So it's a weird shape. Like the store is just a very long space. Definitely not as much space as Colin has here, but I still think, you know, and I'm not an expert, I don't run a store, but I think that they could do things a bit better with how they laid out, just from seeing what, you know, Colin's done here with
some of his... You're having a hard time finding something.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess if a lot of their businesses run off pull list, that might be why too, though.
Yeah, it could be. Mm. Yeah.
I still think it's a bad idea, but I can just see
what people be able to browse, and to me, I mean, maybe their market's different, but to me, it's more important to be able to browse the comic stuff than the manga and prose books and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the other big thing is, like, they have stuff that has been hanging there for years, which, I mean, yeah, that happens, but, like, dusty as hell. Like, I picked up...
Fading,
just really dusty. Like, there's, you know, Mini-Mates packs. And last year when I went, I was mad that I didn't buy this one, like, this Knight Rider Mini-Mates set. So this year when I went and they still had it there, I picked up, it was, like, dust all over it, and it was in the bad condition. I was like, I'm not buying this. This is...
And it'll be there next year when he goes.
Yeah,
so, okay.
So that's... If I have a change of heart, I'll still be there.
Dust it quick. He's coming back.
But it was a good trip. I love Minneapolis. Cool. A lot of good beer and great places to eat. And when I have my work credit card, I am very...
You enjoy them both.
Very liberal with the places to eat. I still have to pay for the beer, though.
You can get away with one, can't you?
No, they will not allow any alcohol on the credit card unless I was like
entertaining.
Unless I was taking someone else out to dinner.
Yeah.
Like not my employee, but taking someone from somewhere else to you know, have a meeting kind of thing. Entertaining someone else, then it's allowed. But for just me and my, you know, the person who works for me, it's frowned upon. But while we paid for the beer flights ourselves, the bacon flight we had was on the credit card. And it was
scamming the system.
Bacon flight.
I don't know what that means.
Well, what's a beer flight?
I don't know.
That's when you get like...
I think it's an airplane where you drink beer the whole time.
You get like a beer flight, they bring you up maybe like 4 to 6 smaller glasses of beer, and each one's a different kind. Well, they have the one place is a bacon flight where it's 3 different kinds of bacon with different sauces.
I thought it was like Alpha Flight.
No, because Canadian bacon's just ham.
This isn't a food podcast, Josh. We don't know what you're talking about.
You asked me how my week
was. What does Burger King have? Does Burger King have anything like that?
Yeah, but croissants. When you go to McDonald's, they call it a Royale with cheese up there.
Royale with cheese.
You asked for this conversation.
I did.
So don't.
Just don't be so indignant that I didn't know what a flight was. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I thought a man of your stature.
But I don't drink beer.
He thought it was a plane made of bacon.
A rum flight.
Why does it fly that way?
Colin drinks rich man's drinks.
Bacon's not very aerodynamic.
Can I get that fermented quail beverage, please? An asparagus shooter.
So, Colin, did we get any questions?
I'm talking to a creator. Hang on one second.
We'll wait.
Wait a question from last
year. Yeah.
Are they going to come here and do a signing?
Yeah.
No.
Who's the creator?
Steve Lieber.
Oh, he's a local guy.
He used to be. That's what he's talking about. He said, with all this Pittsburgh chatter, I realize it's been 11 years since I lived there, so I'm not going to contribute. And I just responded back. I said, uh-oh, Pittsburgh chatter. You know, what did we do?
Oh.
So I just responded. He said, no, it's just friends from here talking. I said, okay, worried we did something bad.
We probably did.
Steve Lieber, I've talked to him many times. When he was here somewhere, maybe in Chicago, just said he handed me his business card. I loved his book, Whiteout, if you've ever read it. Whiteout was really good. Melt was not as good, but the first one was outstanding.
He does a lot of Valiant covers.
Okay.
Currently.
Okay. But he was a judge for the retailer award in San Diego.
Oh.
So afterwards, I went up to him in his table in Artist Alley. I'm like, thanks. You know, just kind of like that. He's like, I'm sorry. At least he recognized the logo to know what I was saying thanks about. But it was just funny. So, but he favorites a lot of stuff I post and stuff. It's just always funny when you get stuff like that. You know, Steve Lieber, who's a creator, favoriting, you know, something. So, which is something really cool. Yeah, so you just favorited.
I'm a
baller.
He kept favoring. He was like, get rid of this guy. He keeps talking. If I favor it, maybe he'll stop.
He'll tell his friends and then go away.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody. Probably do it on his podcast.
All three listeners.
Trick his quail train.
It's funny. I was listening to another podcast, which will be a question we'll get to. And they mentioned that the last one only had 3 downloads. And they're like, what did we do wrong? So it was kind of fun.
Podcast. What podcast was it?
It was, I'll talk about it in a minute.
Plug it, get us more downloads if you like it.
I will. I just want to get a little bit of news out. Previous orders are due Thursday, a week early for some bizarre reason.
So if you're listening to this, pause.
Yeah.
Call Colin, please.
Tell me what you want, and then,
So is this going to be up
tomorrow? Yeah, it's always up Thursday morning. Okay. First thing I do when I get in on Thursday. The only thing that slows me down is if people come in and I can't. It's not a case of mixing it. It's just making sure, because there's a left channel and a right channel, and I have to get them lined up. Otherwise, there's an echo. And so I just have to make sure that. But sometimes I come in and there's people in, or Adam's asking questions, and I can't get that done.
Yeah, but to be honest, Adam doesn't get into, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So
no. Well, that's when he wakes up. But after his bender. Yeah, I know, but that's always the thing I try to do first thing when I get in. So that's the biggie, and then Halloween is next Saturday, and I still got to figure out what I'm doing for that.
I told you what to do.
But the problem, yeah, but...
Is it the 30th?
31st. It's Saturday.
I thought 31st is Sunday.
No, it's Saturday. So, and I'm probably going to be closing around 5:30 to go home and trick-or-treat with my kids. No offense. Or as my son would say, all offense. So that's as far as news. So we had a couple questions. One from last week from Zach. Zach from Texas. asked what podcast do we listen to? And I figured, since I know Josh listens to a bunch, that's why I held that one over from last week, because you were here.
Now, he specifically said what other store podcasts, because he...
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, because he said he likes listening to podcast in another store because it gets, like, the back... You know,
okay, gotcha. I guess maybe I didn't read that closely enough, but I'm sorry.
But I think that we could talk about whatever comic book podcast.
Yeah, because like. The one I listen to, Acme, which he listens to as well, the Acme cast. I listen to Comic Book Pit, which is two guys who are customers. One's a regular, one's infrequent. He actually works at New Dimension right now at Century 3. But just some local guys that get together to do it. We're catching them, so I'm excited. They're in like the 200s. So I'm like, we're at 192. We're going to catch them.
So what's the one that only had 3 listeners?
That was that one. Oh, yeah, Comic Book Pit, yeah. And I don't know which one I was listening to.
You only 3 downloads?
Well, no, but whatever. I don't know which one I was listening to because it just automatically kicked in after the Avenging Hour.
Okay.
The phone, I guess, picked one to go with. So I don't know exactly which one I was listening to, so I don't know which one was the one before it. But So yeah, that and the Avenging Hour, those are the only comic book ones I really listen to. I mean, I know there's a ton of other ones out there. Yeah, and then I listen to my Columbo podcast.
This one's not a store podcast. It's a comic news site podcast, but I listen to the Comic Vine weekly podcast.
Okay.
I like that. It's roughly, you know, about 2 to 2.5 hours. But they get pretty in depth with the news and book reviews and questions. And I like it because they do so many, you know, book reviews on it, like real quick reviews, so that way I can, you know, get an idea of what else is out there that I may not be reading, and helps me, you know, identify new books to possibly check out. And I don't listen to any other store podcasts, but there is one that Colin turned me on to, and it's a limited series. It's only 12 episodes, but it's called My Comic Shop History. And that one is documenting the closing of a comic book shop in New York State called Alternate Realities. And there's an actual, you know, video documentary about this store by the same person a few years ago, I guess. But the owner decided to...
Steve Lieber, sorry.
Oh. But the...
Hobnobbing.
Okay. Hobnob quieter. But the owner decided to close the store, and it closed, I think, back in June. So this guy who was an employee and did the documentary and was still, you know, friends of the store, decided to do this 12-episode podcast and talk to the owner and former owners and customers and employees. And it was a pretty interesting, you know, inside look at, you know, the history of a store that has been around for 20-plus years and reasons behind it closing and, you know, different opinions. And at first, I wasn't sure if I'd be that interested in it, but after I got through a couple episodes, I was pretty hooked. I just... finished the last episode on my way here today, actually.
Okay, cool.
So I would recommend that.
Yeah, I listened to him. I'd started to re-listen to number one just to see my take on it after hearing everything. Because in the first one, you're like, man, this guy's just a jerk.
Yeah.
And then as you go along, he's still just a jerk, but you get a little more feel of the customers and the employees and things that happened in those 19 years.
As it goes on, you kind of understand how he became kind of jerky.
Jaded, yeah.
By the last episode, I didn't feel he was a jerk. I felt he made bad decisions that led to his, you know, aggravations.
Yeah, but that old guy that was on that one?
I couldn't stand that guy.
Oh,
and I guess there's a whole documentary about him, too, Jay Mizell.
Yeah, oh, that was, cost him money right there, that guy. You walk in and he's in the store, I would have turned right around.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he goes to lunch with that guy 2 times a week, he says.
That can't help.
And I guess that podcast is going to live on again in a second season with some other store, he said.
Okay. Yeah, the one that he interviewed the owner of that was really sketchy.
Oh, that's the story he's going to follow?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
That was the story he had mentioned. Because the Acme cast also interviewed the guy who did that, and I think that might have been where he said it.
Oh, okay.
But that guy, there was something sketchy there. It's like, I'll order this stuff in, and if it doesn't sell, I just write it off.
Yeah,
I order this stuff in, and if I just write it off. I'm like, well, that's nice, but you're still paying for it.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I'll order, you know, 50 copies, and if I only sell 4, I'll order 40 copies of the next one. I'm just like, dude, oh, yeah, you're going to be gone
real
quick.
Must be nice
to
have that kind of...
Spider's Web, was that the...
Something like
the
that, yeah, a bad name.
That sounds like...
Yeah. Well, Alternate Realities, they even admitted was a terrible name.
Yeah, but it was...
Because they got all sorts of misspellings.
But the owner didn't admit it was a bad name. The other people did.
Right.
The owner kind of, like, dug in about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that the podcast got picked up by a different podcast network. I forget what it's called now, but...
Well, how do you get picked up by a podcast network?
Like Nerdist or those sorts of networks.
Networks.
Yeah, okay,
need to get on that.
I got to work on my contacts.
All right. But it was good. I'm looking forward to the second season of it.
Chris, I watch your TV show.
So, who are you?
You know me. I was in San Diego.
Who else has podcast recommendations?
Yeah, what do you listen to? You listen. You always have headphones hanging out of your shirt.
Comic related.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, we're beneath that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to The Avenging Hour, which is not a
store.
Comic store.
Although Jason did have a store.
Yeah, and the first couple issue or the first episode that they did before they were the Avenging Hour, he talked a little bit about it. And then they changed their format, and now they're going in a chronological history of all the Avengers issues. And
I think I'm up to issue 40, and they still haven't found one that they liked.
Yeah, it's
kind of funny.
It's really funny when you listen to it and just how, you know, in people's minds, these are great books, but when you read them in hindsight, it's like, no, they're not. Some of these are horrible. And it talks about, like, you know, a lot of the sexism with, like, the Wasp and Scarlet Witch and how they're basically useless characters in the early days. But that it's a pretty decent podcast. And the other one I listened to is called The Weekly Planet, which is comic book movie news.
Is that where you get all your news?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, I don't. But it's done by a couple of guys. They're either Australian or New Zealanders. I think they're Australian. And it's pretty funny. I mean, their take on the news is amusing. But they do kind of theme shows where, like, they did one that was like their Star Wars episode, and they just blasted the prequels and you know, which they should, but it's more
humorous.
Don't
listen to it, Adam. It'll make you sad.
Yeah,
Adam's a big Jar Jar fan.
That's what I figured. Him and little Annie. Yeah. So I mean, those are the only two I really listen to.
Dave,
I've listened to a lot of. There's one Word Balloon
mm-hmm.
with John Suntris. He's out of Chicago. And there's one Fanboy Radio. Those guys are in somewhere in Texas. I don't know, Dallas or somewhere. And mostly they get a lot of big creators.
Is it better an inch and a half off the table? Is that why you're holding it?
No, because whenever you guys were moving around and I was listening to the podcast last week,
you
really hear it slide across the table and bounce up and down. So. Okay. I figured I would save the listener.
I was just laughing because I'm like, is holding it up in the air, Ben? Okay.
Josh always wanted to be a reporter. And Dave?
Get a better mic, man.
Well the money that this brings in.
Speaking of podcasts, I saw Southside. Dave, you always get cut off. Man, I don't know what it is.
I know. I was just thinking
and you always initiate it.
I'm just laughing because you're sitting here holding the mic in the air.
But
that's
then, you had to say why you're laughing.
Okay.
Southside Comics.
I just saw that. He
posted their first episode for
yeah.
the podcast.
Yeah.
And on the episode, they're talking about all this audio equipment they have for their podcast.
Good
we have
for
one
them.
Little tiny microphone.
Good for them.
Jeez.
This is Pittsburgh Comics. We all need all that.
We don't need that fancy stuff. What happens if they have an extra person?
I'm sure if they bought all that fancy equipment, they got an extra mic and headset.
I don't know.
That's their mixer.
It's because they're not spending all their money on quail and asparagus.
Oh, back to that. So, Dave, your podcast.
So I'd recommend Word Balloon and Fanboy Radio. They get a lot of big name creators and interview them for a decent amount of time. So, because it's interesting to hear what. You don't hear these guys, you know, talk anywhere. So if you want, it's good to hear them, see what they think about the process and all that kind of stuff.
Huh. I
forgot.
I got one. I actually just started listening to this one. I was following on Instagram. I don't know how somebody might have shared a picture or I ended up on like somebody liked something of mine. But,
his girl named Susie. She does a podcast. No, sorry.
Their name is the name of the Instagram is History of the Batman, and this girl like is very knowledgeable of Batman.
Girls can
like,
read comics, Adam.
Every
why are you sound so surprised?
This isn't 1963, man.
Sexist jerk.
Man, hang on,
my whole thing about it is that
I'm gonna kick you in the knee.
Kick him in the ankle. That's what hurts.
Sure. No, I'm more. It's more that it's actually the most knowledgeable person I've ever seen, like doing something like an Instagram or you know some sort of blog on the subject of Batman. I mean, if you'd go and follow her on Instagram, you'll have like all day she divides it up into segments of you know. The death of Batman, many deaths of Batman. She'll talk about it, but just recently she decided they started a podcast, and they do this through Meltdown Comics, which I think is the one that does the Nerdist.
It's in LA,
and also they have that show on Comedy Central. Jonah and Kimmel, Meltdown with Jonah Kimmel, something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, she records that out of there and. It's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of good interest. Like, if you're into Batman, you're wanting to know more of the history of Batman, it's really one
worth picking up. That's probably your best one on the subject.
Not Fat Man on Batman?
No, because that's kind of my problem. I was listening to that, not to say that that show was not interesting. He got interesting guests for a little while, and then it kind of went downhill. And then when he had Neil Adams on there twice, and then you listen to Neil Adams, and he tells the exact same story he told on the first one again.
He has some really good episodes, like his Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo episode, yeah. Scott Snyder, Jeff Johns, Kyle Higgins.
The Grant Morrison episode was amazing. Great.
But what kills me about his podcast, I've said this before, he makes me feel too awkward when he is doing his little like monologue in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to talk like, you know, in a funny, like seductive way, and it just,
you mean his like, advertisement one?
But yeah, but he's like, I'm gonna give you eargasms and like,
yeah, it's
I'm gonna run my tongue through your lobes. Like, just, yeah. Kevin Smith, please. We're not there yet.
Did you see him on Talking podcast. Dead on Sunday?
I didn't see it Sunday.
He actually just he gets on my nerves more and more now than he ever did before, because he puts himself more out there than he used to, which you could watch his movies and, you know, be enjoy that. But getting to know him is just another thing altogether. You're just like, this isn't as funny.
I feel like
you
when he's just talking, then he's fine.
Yeah.
But when he's like trying to,
he's trying that persona,
then I'm like, stop it. You're making me feel awkward. Yeah. I feel awkward.
I feel like we're in on an inside joke that like we're not getting. I bet him and his friends at Comic Book Man get it, but like I don't.
Yeah,
you know, and it just is odd. And then when he is interviewing him, and then sometimes it bothered me when he was interviewing somebody like let's say Scott Snyder, and he's never read, you know, thoroughly anything Scott Snyder. But he read the issue that they gave him for that day.
Yeah, it's just that's like, aggravating.
You're not getting it. Like, where, you know, London from History of the Batman, she's read it.
Yeah.
You know, so you're getting history and ideas, that stuff that she's been looking up on her own. And I think it's just a better way of getting that information. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It kind of turned me off on that podcast, because after a while I was just like, and then he started just watching episodes with random people, and I was just like, of the cartoon, and I was like, pass. I mean, if it was like Paul Dini or Bruce Timm, I'd be like, okay, that's cool, because it's, you're watching it here with the creators. But
yeah, no, I'm with you. I used to listen to it a lot, but I haven't listened in a while now.
The Denny O'Neill episode was really good. I mean, go and watch some episodes of those. There's just, really good episodes of it. It just went downhill. And I think if you're really wanting a good History of Batman podcast, this is the one you need to do.
Yeah.
And follow her on Instagram and Facebook, because, you know, she posts a lot of interesting stuff throughout the day,
you know.
So
the one
did you mention the one podcast that you helped mold?
Yeah, well, that I was just thinking, I forgot that one. That's the Sketched podcast, Off Panel. I think it's Sketched, it's no vowels, it's like SKCHD. But that was good. He's had Sean Gordon Murphy on twice now. The newest one that just went up was Cliff Chang talking about Paper Girls.
I haven't listened to that one.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that particular one. I got caught up on a lot of them on my trip, which was good. And then, Cubs.
Wah, wah.
He's gonna bring at least one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with two.
Yeah. Look at the video. Just
sorry, we're watching the baseball game.
Yeah, they were going.
It's
I don't think they're going to win the World Series this year.
I don't think so. Wow, they both scored. Sorry, people, you already know what happened in the game. Sorry, we're watching live. Coming to you live from Pittsburgh Comics.
It's kind of funny that chances are their hopes are going to be completely extinguished on the day.
Yeah.
As a White Sox fan, universe. I find it appropriate.
It's like the end of the world.
So that's about it. Oh, okay, so then we got another question from... What, you don't want another Dr. Pepper?
No, they're flat. Yeah, don't buy the Dr. Pepper.
They're all
from Pittsburgh Commons.
We got a question from James out in Harrisburg. Like I was saying, I ran into his wife at Baltimore. I didn't see him, but I saw his wife, which was funny. It was a funny moment, because she's like, hey, Colin, and I'm like...
Ooh la la.
No.
Oh. Ooh la la.
No, but it was I know you.
Ran into his wife.
But do I. No, she was waiting in line for Darwin Cook.
Hey, and, champ.
Oh, Darwin Cook got in on that.
too far.
Yeah,
too far.
No, but it was funny because she's...
Well, now we're never going to get Darwin Cook here.
No, she's... It's got creepy. No, just wait. She's like, hey, Colin. And I'm just...
We're sorry, James.
No, but I just couldn't place her because when you run into somebody in a complete... You know, like if you ran into somebody you half know from Adele's school in Minneapolis at the airport, you'd be like...
I would ignore and look the other
way. Right, but I'm just saying...
That's how I am.
It would take you a minute because it's out of place. Like, the person was out of place. You weren't in the wrong situation. So, but no, eventually I figured it out.
Started interest then.
Sorry.
The last question that James ever asked.
Yeah, I'm not going back there again. No, but his question is, as the DC minis wind down, what question would you like to see given a mini? What character would you like to see given a mini, and what creative team would you put on?
Obviously, he wants to see the question.
I had somebody really, really wanting the question.
We haven't seen anything.
I would take the question with Greg Rucka writing it.
Yeah, last time.
Yeah, and hopefully the fences have been mended with Convergence.
That Convergence mini was really good.
Yeah.
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 So I just stole your answer.
No,
Your Freudian answer and made it my own. Real answer.
No, but for me, they've already announced a Metal Men mini.
I'm looking forward to that.
Which is one of my favorites.
I would also like to see a Doom Patrol book.
A classic Doom Patrol. I'd like to see the original Doom Patrol. Maybe not with Beast Boy. But I remember a couple times they've like, oh, here, let's make new characters, and they're not really it. Or it's a female Negative Man. And, you know, give me Elastigirl and Robot Man.
I did like the Doom Patrol that was portrayed in recent Justice League issues.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the... What was the group in Forever Evil that was killed? Was that Doom Patrol?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was like, and then he was talking about reforming it. That was it. In that book,
I think Johns has had this the Dark Side War on his mind, and so I think a lot of things that have come and
there's
gone.
Just a lot
that he's done. Yeah, I'll get to it when I can. Type of things. Yeah. No, I think Doom Patrol would be a good one.
I want to see a Shazam book, and I want to see it done by Jeff Johns.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, but not Gary Frank. His eyes. Sorry.
I'll take any meeting with Scott Lobdell.
You'll take any book. You'll say you'll take any book with Scott Lobdell, drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
The book is just called Pouches.
That's
somebody.
It
was so funny with the new Spider-Man 2099. People were like, "Oh man, I missed that classic, you know, original costume." Or no, it wasn't Spider-Man. It was Scarlet Spider. And I'm just going, really? Ankle pouches? He's like, well, you might need those extra web shooters. And that was the only place for them. I'm like, really? Ankle pouches?
I have heard that said before. But that has to be, like, the least of my worries of pouched characters and pouch, like, Cable. Have you seen Cable? I mean, they're all over the place.
His pouched character sounds like a whole different thing.
Adam's into pouched characters, apparently. I don't know.
Pouched, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not that there's anything wrong with it. Dave, what do you got?
They even have a convention for that downtown, don't they?
I think I've mentioned this before in the past year, but a book I've always wanted to see in that last issue of the 52 miniseries, or there was 52 issues, I don't know how many it was, but they introduced Ralph and Sue Dibny, Ghost Detectives.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. By,
and that, then they that, never that, did anything that
page
with that.
Was Mark,
yeah.
That page was Mark Waid wrote that, Derek Robinson on Derek Robertson on art. And,
it looks like Spider Gwen.
It was like two pages, and they're at a schoolhouse or a school classroom, and it opened up into the pits of hell or something, and Ralph and Sue was... The ghost detectives showed up, and she's just like, Ralph, your nose is twitching. And they never did anything with that, and that's what I want to see so bad, so badly.
When did Ralph die?
52. He was killed by Felix Faust.
Yeah. Was he? I mean, I remember when Sue died, but...
Yeah, he died in 52,
Yeah, I kind of gave up that book.
What?
I gave up that book. Was it good? Did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to have to look into it later. Don't rush me. I'm reading
Rich?
It. Rush you to reading a book that was coming out when I opened 9 years ago. You're right. I'll back off. Sorry.
Thank you. Did you have
anything? No, I don't have anything.
Are we just, like, what is this? Like, just minis that we'd like to see?
Maybe. Three people have gone, and you have no idea what we're talking about.
No, because I know what we're talking about. I just
yet he's interjected on everyone.
What characters would you like to see get a miniseries, and what creative team would you like to see on if you haven't?
Okay,
did you just ask DC though, or?
I would assume DC. But
yeah, that's what
he said since the DC minis are wrapping up, and he meant like Bizarro and Batmite and
yeah,
okay,
All Star.
I'd actually like to see. Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale take on Batman again. I was talking about that the other day. I'd rather them not be working on Captain America White. I'd like to see a Batman.
Jeff Loeb is so ingrained in Marvel. He's not doing anything.
I know, that's the whole thing. I'd love to see it though.
Because he's all over the Marvel TV side of things.
Yeah, but Long Halloween is one of my favorite Batman books.
Yeah,
I love Haunted. What was the other one? Hush. Dark Victory. And
did he write Hush, Jeff Loeb?
I think he wrote. He wrote it.
Jim Lee was art.
Jim Lee did the art. Yeah. But I'd like to see that team because, like, you know, as you know, we got Captain America White, but it's just like, yeah, I don't want to see all that. Those were okay, but their best work they did was Long Halloween together. So, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Well, that's never happening. So sorry.
Probably isn't.
No, probably. It was funny.
It's not happening. My dreams are dashed.
No, but about Jeff Loeb, another thing I was talking about with Jermaine, because I was complaining about something.
There's a shock.
No, it was. The reveal. We were talking about the reveal at the end of Iron Man of who was revealed, and I said I don't take Marvel's reveals at face value anymore. I mean, because it very likely could be an LMD or a clone, just the way they've done it, because. You look at, and this is where Loeb came up, you'll get the last two of his reveals. One, Sabretooth came back because it was a clone that was killed, not the Sabretooth. And then Red Hulk was revealed as Ross, even though Red Hulk killed Ross, but he actually killed an LMD.
Mm.
So I'm like, I don't take
yeah.
Marvel's big, shocking reveals for anything.
I didn't know that about Sabretooth. He was a clone?
Yeah, because
that was the reveal. I never
yeah, got that was the reveal.
How he came back.
Right, it was a clone that was killed. It wasn't the real Sabretooth. So I don't take them with any meat. So when it was revealed, you know, that character, it's like, okay. So, you know, it didn't
they're not
register.
Very creative.
So that, but I loved Loeb on Batman. I loved the Batman stuff. I actually loved his, colored books. I haven't read the, that came off wrong. But I haven't read the Captain America White, but I liked Spider-Man Blue and Daredevil Yellow.
Podcast. Even Pat hasn't done anything like that.
No.
He's
so,
a clean. He can do
it. But so it's like, I don't dislike him as a writer, but like, and then the other thing I brought up is, you know, with Nova, where, you know, that's great that he named Nova after his son who died, but why did you have to get rid of Richard Rider to create your own character? Why couldn't you have created a new
Peter Parker?
Did you read Superman for all seasons? That's
no, I didn't. I've heard great things
great.
About that.
It's
yeah.
great, yeah. That's one yeah. of my favorites.
No, I've heard good things about that. So it's like, I don't dislike him as a writer. I just dislike a lot of the stuff he's...
Those things have been good. Like, Captain America White, I think, turned me off of Marvel, because, like, I wanted to...
I enjoyed the Zero when it came out 7 years ago, but...
Yeah.
I didn't stay on it for
number 7 years between issues, you would expect it to be quality.
But...
It's almost where we're at with Secret Wars.
Or any of the Archie books.
What were the other three? It was Captain America... It was Spider-Man Blue...
Hulk Gray,
Daredevil Yellow.
Yeah, I like Daredevil and Spider-Man.
Yeah. But they're just... They're a good team. They've also done... the Wolverine and Gambit. They did a mini series with them, and then they did a Catwoman story called When in Rome.
Yes.
So
I think I read that one.
That's been a while. I don't remember.
Or was it was a Darwin. Maybe it wasn't. I don't remember. Okay, it's blurry. Okay. Last question from Zach. Do you think a comic having a letters page affects how invested fans get with that title? If so, why no DC letters pages?
I don't think it.
I get what he's saying, where something like Saga has a letters
Saga
page.
Saga is a different
beast. It's a different breed, right.
Saga has a very like robust letters page, and they do contests and all kinds of stuff.
And you have to actually write in a letter. You can't email. I know Marvel does letters pages, but I take it mostly as fluff.
Yeah, it's inconsistent.
I feel like Marvel's picky and picks and chooses what... Yeah. They put into it, so you always get, oh, this was the greatest book ever.
Here's what I find. The letters pages where the actual creators are involved in answering questions seem to be much build much more of a community.
Right.
Whereas the Marvel ones were, yeah, it's just like, yeah. It's just an who gives a
well, crap? Like, Image, when they do, like, Walking Dead. Walking Dead's is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, actually, it's, got Kirkman, it's, yeah, and it just, you know, they're not picking what they put in. It could be a negative comment about it, and they'll dispute it. They'll just be like, you know, this is why I did it. You know, live with it.
My least favorite letters pages are the Miller World books.
Yeah.
They always have like a weird like back letter thing. It's confusing. It's like part conversations, part.
Is the question, does it bother you if they don't?
No, does it? Do you think
it build a community? More of a, do you get more invested in that book by not having with the internet.
I mean,
yeah, well, it was more important. I'm sure for the letter some pages people. In the 80s when I was reading books because. Every
it was the only way you could do it. It was
the only way you could
right.
It's see a different what was time. Going on. Yeah.
And that really invested me more into the books, you know, by having that back and forth.
But that was a time when, you know, you didn't have the ability to go on and look at fan forums.
I'm sure
and
the
read a
people.
Yeah, that's why they're not in the books anymore. Yeah.
I'm sure the people that write in to the letters pages and see their stuff, you know, published there, I'm sure for them it really. What?
Like a cosplay variant? Sorry.
I'm sure
you
for
didn't
them.
See those last week.
I'm sure for them, it like makes them invested in the book and excited about it. But for me as a reader, reading the letters page,
yeah.
I really don't care. Like every now and then, I may read a couple things, but I rarely will read a whole letters page. And most of the time, I skip past it altogether anymore because oftentimes it's the same letter over and over again with the person publishing it. And like we said earlier before the podcast, the only ones that are a bit you know more interesting is when you have a creator and Greg Rucka is good at this. Where if you have a letter that, you know, says something negative, he doesn't just, you know, give the normal, like, you know, politically correct fluff answer. He will, you know, give an actual response to it. So
I have a friend who actually comes here, and it's Daniel.
No way.
He is a friend.
Friend?
Daniel.
Dave's right there.
Well, you know Daniel. Oh,
Dave's here, man.
I didn't want anybody to know that.
He, he has been published into so many letter columns. I don't know how he does it. But one time he just told
me. He probably writes a letter and then puts okay to publish.
He says that. But the reason why is he says that he kind of. You have to read some of his what he writes because he really tones it down and makes it sound like it's being written by like a kid. And he does it. And when he does it, it shows up like immediately. So like all of them. And he even ended up on a cover of one of them because of this. It's
like his
like,
picture?
They drew him into
they drew
the cover
into,
of that minimum wage.
It was minimum wage. Yeah, I ordered two. No offense.
Yeah, but
minimum wage, minimum order.
No, order based on how it sells. Order two, I sell one.
You found that book that had a letter from.
Oh yeah, the old. Well, that's the fun part about listening. They always go through the letters pages in Avenging Hour, and it's not always the good ones. It's always sometimes it's the ones complaining and things like that, which is kind of fun. But lately, with into the 40s. Stan's no longer answering them and things like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a George R. R. Martin letter. Yeah,
that was like Avengers 12 or something like that. It was one of the.
It was Fantastic Four that I found.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
But so there.
And why does DC have them?
I don't know why DC doesn't. Have
them. They're very against it too. Like anytime it's up, they've been.
I don't know why. Probably they get reamed enough online. They don't want to have people sending in letters complaining about everything.
Yeah, and I don't that one. I don't care that they are anti. The only thing that they are very anti that doesn't I don't understand is the whole like recap page.
Yeah,
in the beginning of a book.
I agree.
Yeah, and someone from Marvel said this all the time that every comic is somebody's first comic. Was that Stan?
Yeah, Stan. But even with Marvel. That doesn't
no, but that. Sometimes they...
You could pick up any issue of Hickman's Avengers and jump in right there.
Oh,
Colin.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
you could. You could start reading and have no idea what was going on.
I started in Fantastic Four when they ran into a race of people with horse heads, and I was like, what is going on here? That was when he was doing that, and that's when I gave up.
It was a horse head planet.
He hates horses. Adam hates horses.
BoJack crossover.
I tried to watch one of those.
I haven't watched it. I've just seen the commercials.
Okay.
Okay. No, stop it.
He had silence for a minute.
Oh, so you just automatically come in instead of injecting something of value.
You
jump in.
You're the leader of this podcast.
Okay,
do it.
Jeez.
And when the leader falls, the next man up has to step up.
Just leave.
Okay, Adam, did you read anything from last week?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
leader took charge.
Well, I'm just saying he's going to be all mouthing off.
About time.
I'll keep interrupting.
right. Star Trek Green Lantern, number 4.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It was really good. And they did what I was saying from the last issue, that continue with something. Like, don't just keep giving people rings. Like, let's get a story going. And they are. So right at that point, it is. I just love where they're going with all these characters.
You leaving? You leaving?
I'm tucking my shirt.
Oh.
But, yeah.
It's casual time. Oh, I accidentally unlocked my car. You wanted to interrupt him. I'm interrupting you. I'm trying to help you out.
So what happened in the issue, Adam?
Well,
did you like it?
Yeah. We already discussed that part.
What I liked is that we said, you know, one thing with the previous issue is that Lord Fleas was kind of uncharacteristic in that he didn't just, you know, take everything. But this, he kind of, like, laid down the law.
Yeah,
like,
what's in this galaxy that I'm going to want?
Like, no. I am the ruler of the orange stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good, because what was it? Senators attack, and he's like, oh, you think they're going to attack me?
No.
I rule orange constructs.
Yeah. They, my biggest problem with this issue was the art, with the Larfleas. Larfleas was
weird. His face was too elongated.
Yeah, it was elongated, and it was too flat. He didn't have the snout.
Yeah, I couldn't tell that was him.
Yeah, it was really weird. So somebody didn't really know how to draw Larfleas. Yeah. But, you know, he's been a character that... I don't know why I'm so particular about the way I first saw him, but every time afterwards, I'm just like, he doesn't look right. Like, only one artist could do that, and I don't even remember who was the artist, Green Lantern, at the time.
I thought how he was drawn in his solo series from, like, a year or so ago.
Yeah.
Was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with the Vulcans, like, the Vulcans being... You know,
I like at the end.
Then I started to dig back.
I like it, except I thought the planet was completely destroyed.
Yeah.
Well, somehow he put it all back together. I don't know. I don't know how powerful Necron is.
The Vulcans lived on Humpty Dumpty, apparently.
Yeah, they follow those rules. They're not easy to put together.
But then they get, like, sucked into the black hole that was created inside the planet.
You would think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember from that movie. Yeah, it kind of blew up from the inside because they created a black hole and then it just
it's
pulled
black
everyone.
Hand yeah. rules black holes. Like,
moving on.
Black hand to black hole.
Yeah.
We're getting an E this week.
Yeah. Shattered Empire, number 3.
I like that.
It's okay. It's not a bad book. Like, it's... It's got some things happening.
It's not a bad book. It's certainly not bridging any gap between Jedi and...
No, it's not showing anything.
There's no journey to Force Awakens here.
I have one of my biggest problems. I would have talked about this last week, but I wasn't here. Number 2, they did one of the biggest, like, the way I've always seen it, the biggest taboos in, like, either movies or comics. They attack Naboo with a weather machine. I mean, wasn't that what killed that Avengers movie with Sean Connery, you know, where he made a weather machine?
Oh.
I mean, that was basically...
Yeah.
It just was like, seriously, like, their big plan was to use a weapon that will destroy a planet. And I'm just like, well, how many Star Wars have we seen that? And, you know, Star Wars The New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and now we're going to maybe see it in this. It just, to my, like, I just didn't... Too
not everybody can have
What's
laser sharks.
Making a land grab?
Yeah. But,
I thought there were some interesting ideas in it about how the Emperor demilitarized Naboo in the subsequent years.
Yeah, and that was one of my favorite things about the book is actually her going back to Naboo.
Yeah,
now, she did it in Princess Leia.
I like
she
the scene with Leia standing where Darth Maul did and she could feel that presence.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought it was odd, though, that Darth Maul's presence is just, like, lingering in that hallway. Yeah. That was just like...
Because he was only there for a little bit.
Yeah, he was just standing there for a second, and it's still there. He's just like, something's cold right here. Like, his spirit is just hanging out there.
The final battle, when he died, wasn't it in the temple?
Not that doorway.
No, not the doorway, but it was in the temple, though. Like, in the...
It was in that weird power
factory. The palace.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
But I think that was part of the palace or whatever. They went down to this area that had been sealed off for, you know, 20 years, they said.
Yeah.
So I imagine that area could be linked to wherever he is, you know, residing or where he died at.
Unless he didn't die.
I'm saying, like, yeah, he may still be there in some capacity.
Well, no, because Clone Wars is in canon.
Yeah. It isn't?
It is.
Yeah, it's canon. So he's back. He was taken to a trash receptacle. He was dropped off, and then these things, like, put him back together.
Why the hell was she feeling down there?
Yeah. His legs are still there.
This is what Colin doesn't like about Star Wars, too, that it's that expanded universe thing where anybody else who, like Colin, who would have seen the movies, would not know that Darth Maul was still alive at some point and never died there.
I assume from watching the prequels that all the stormtroopers were clones of Jango Fett. That's why when the guy in the prequel in the trailer takes off his helmet, he's clearly not Jango Fett.
However,
so I got very confused.
I learned from Star Wars Rebels
today. But that's, I saw the movies. I didn't watch the cartoon.
See, you know what though? I never took it that way. I took the clone troopers as they were clones, as they became stormtroopers, they weren't clones.
Yeah. Also, I kind of
was just all boom, boom, boom.
They had that school, remember?
They had the school, but the season premiere for season two tells you that the clones were decommissioned.
Yeah. Nothing part of the main story tells you that the clones were decommissioned.
Yeah, 16, 17.
Yeah.
See, I kind of consider it to be forced conscription.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Yes.
And this is not a question related to this book, but it was something that was in the book, and it reminded me that it's something I always had a question about. How in the hell did Lando become a general between Empire and Jedi?
He can talk.
He was a friend of Han.
How's Han a general? Like, Han I could see kind of.
Han was promoted into their things after the whole thing with Darth Vader.
Because Luke wasn't a general. Luke was just a commander, right? Skywalker.
Yeah.
He helped blow up the
That's
Death
less
Star.
Than a general.
I think they just...
Well, technically, a commander's a Navy rank
just,
anyway.
Like, we'll get everybody a position.
Luke wouldn't have been a general. He would have been an admiral.
It's a trap.
But I just never understood, like, an Empire.
Yeah, that one really doesn't make any sense. Because he just shows up.
Essentially betrays, and now we know there's more to it.
His position and power of a city, I don't know. That's
a good
question.
A general?
Well, maybe it was
I guess they're just like,
if you want my help, I gotta be a general.
Yeah.
You betrayed us. Good move.
I guess maybe it's all in where the, like, the position.
You make the tough decisions.
He had to command a ship, so they made him a general of that, so they can
Again,
take orders.
So we're all in agreement
Navy,
that it doesn't make
right,
sense.
So general,
we all agree it doesn't make sense. Okay,
yeah.
So it's not just me.
Yeah, but it's weird.
But
yeah,
that's not even the thing that makes
Han
the least
makes
amount of
sense.
The thing that makes the least
Han
amount
makes
of sense,
sense. You're right.
Is that he wears Han's clothes at the end of Empire.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
What's up with that?
Because he was sleeping with Han's wife and had to get out of there quick, so he just grabbed clothes from the closet.
And that's where the baby Finn comes from.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why.
Podcast over. We're done.
Final episode.
We did work today.
But it stuck out to me because in this issue, whenever he shows up, he's like, it's General Calrissian. Like, why are you a general?
There's a reason. But, we've said too much today. This whole book, though, it's okay. I think it should have been probably more than 4 issues. I think it didn't have much story for it to just be like, I'll have to read today's. Like, I have no idea. But the fact of it, like, that was their plan. They go, they're just like,
just
kill Naboo. And then it's just, that's the whole book. The whole book was about killing Naboo.
Every,
but the weather machine.
It doesn't seem very, there's a consistent through line on the story.
Yeah.
I don't know,
it was almost there to be there because they were just like, we have to have something for Force Awakens.
Well, that's the thing. I've been saying...
Yeah, but even there, Force Awakens doesn't come out for another 2 months.
Yeah.
So why rush the shipment
right now? Exactly.
Why
did
it have to ship weekly? I don't
know. I could see that, but why not make it longer? Why not have it flesh out the story a little bit?
And I feel like it needs to be a little more attached to Force Awakens.
And I think it should have taken place directly after the events at the end of Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been more in between Jedi and Force Awakens for truly to be Journey to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Unless this book is just setting up why the Empire still exists in Force Awakens.
I think that's all it is. And that's, I really, that's probably do. What I we're going to see in this. All it is. It's to show you that he still has some sort of power because he puts a message out there and starts a contingency plan. Yeah.
Right, but I mean that makes sense. You know, when the Emperor fell, or you know, got thrown over, they still have an army.
What did Darth Vader say?
No, because he was getting electrocuted.
Yeah, there's still an army there. So someone's, you know, the Emperor's dead. We're just going to stop being an army, especially when you think of how ruthless they were to begin with. If I'm an admiral somewhere and I got a fleet of Star Destroyers, I'm not giving that up.
Well,
power struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see.
There would actually be an Empire Civil War.
It wouldn't make sense for the Empire to suddenly be gone, but I could see with Palpatine and Vader no longer there and a power vacuum, I could see it being easier for the Rebels to overtake the Empire's forces and then over time push it out. But clearly by the trailers Force Awakens...
I mean, just watching, just straight watching the movies, it was a very decentralized government where it didn't seem like... you know, Palpatine had a lot of control over the military. It was more like Tarkin kind of controlled his sector, and other guys kind of, they did their own thing. They may have reported back to him, but he wasn't a military strategist.
The governors controlled their local system.
But of course, if by going from the movies make it look like at the very end of Jedi, suddenly Rebels won, Empire's gone, fireworks over Coruscant, and everything's,
they knocked down a statue like it was Saddam Hussein. And
gets dance and all over the place.
Yub-yub. We won! Yub-yub. It's over!
Well, no, they took out the Yub Yub song, which was the best part.
I only saw it once in the theater, Yub Yub.
Yep. Yeah, but Naboo and Coruscant weren't shown then.
Yeah. I kind of like, actually, I didn't mind that ad.
No, I like.
It kind of showed more how.
Yeah,
I didn't mind that ad, but I do miss the Yub Yub song.
Yeah, I do. But the thing is, like, the movie end seemed too self-contained to Endor. Like, we saved the moon with Ewoks. Like, and that was it. Like, you didn't save anything else.
Yeah.
They will evolve into a very important species.
There's going to be Jedi ones.
Flying hogs.
They're just like, no!
They actually create the tree spaceships that they use in Saga.
Oh,
it all ties together.
Everything ties
together.
Liar.
We did good.
Not lying.
The whole thing about the book is, I felt like there was not too much, but there have been good parts on it.
Okay,
to read. I agree. It's not my favorite. Civil War V. I'll just say.
You said it was awesome.
This book ended on a really bad.
Yeah. I got pissed at the last issue when they revealed that they were Skrulls.
And I have to agree with you.
It was just like,
really
that was
necessarily agree with you the last one, because I was just like, I didn't mind it, but the way this ended,
it was bad. It was a cheap ending. Yep. The fact that, you know, you have Tony and Steve sacrifice themselves. Steve, I can see doing that.
Yeah.
That was a very Captain America thing to do. Stark would not have done that.
Yeah.
I
don't really understand why they couldn't fight the Skrulls. Were there too many? I mean, because if you go back to Secret Invasion, Norman Osborn just shot her in the face with a rifle and it just ended.
So yeah, well.
I don't really understand what the...
I think because the weapon was there, why not use it?
Yeah.
It
just... There's nothing to it. Like, they go down, they self-destruct the thing, everybody loses their powers.
Yeah. That's it. You know, it was strange.
All of these events have really ended. These tie-ins have ended just badly. It's actually, I probably won't pick.
Well, they're
up.
Not over yet because all the things.
No, Civil War is over.
No, it says that these series last the duration of Civil War or Secret Wars, so that's still going. So they can't be over.
I'm going to ask you a question about a tie-in that came out today, Agents of Atlas.
I know I sold one. Yeah. I only ordered 10.
I have a feeling that's probably going to any tie-in that's coming out after any of these is not going to do anything.
I mean, the only one that's not ended that I was reading.
I'm not planning on picking anything up. After that, I was just like, that one was good, and then it ended like
House
that.
Of M is the only one that's still running that I'm reading.
Yeah.
And
X-Men 92 was bad. I mean,
that's getting a new ongoing. Spinning out of it.
I don't get it. I really don't. It's just like the hype is what they sell.
It's a fan favorite.
Not that it's going to be going to actually sell. I don't get it. But you agree. 5 was just
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
I don't know if Josh read this, so I'll wait for a second. Spider-Man 2099. The first issue came out. I liked it. I actually really... Did you like it?
I didn't read it. I picked up 2099 originally, and then I didn't like the fact that it rolled right into Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I read it during Spider-Verse because it contained parts of Spider-Verse. And after it was over, it had two issues left, so I read it just to read it.
And you're completely right, because this book, Peter David writes the character, and he does a good job writing this book. And this, the first series, the return of this book, was completely derailed by not only, like, one event, but two.
Yeah.
One being Spider-Verse,
yeah,
which had nothing to do with the story Peter David was trying to tell. And the other one being Secret Wars,
yeah,
where it just completely ended.
Now, in this, is he? Yeah, I'm assuming he's back in the 616 or whatever they're going to call it. Universe.
He is. Yeah, he's in normal. He's in present day. He's working. He actually is. It didn't say he was like running the company there. He was like their head scientist at the New York division of Parker Industries.
Okay.
So he's working for Parker now. Somewhere along the line in the time that Colin was saying was the 8 months that we haven't seen, where things developed, he has left Alchemax, and he's not working there.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that, because I didn't get to finish this run, the previous run, because of the Secret Wars. Everything kind of, I was just like, I'm missing something here. But he's working for that. Basically, the story of this book is that he is trying to figure out his time period of 2099 has become post-apocalyptic. And basically, he's trying to figure out what is changing things that is causing the timeline to shift. So,
how can he do that 75 years in the past?
He has a time machine. Or not, a portal. Not a machine, a portal. Where he is going down into the elevator.
So he went back to get the Greatest Sports Almanac from Biff.
Yes, exactly. Right? He went to go get the almanac, and that's how it changed everything.
But what's he going to do? He keeps going. He goes to the future, says it's messed up, goes back to the past, changes one thing real fast, runs back to the future.
He's trying, exactly. Well,
he's trying to butterfly effect his way back to the
kinda,
right.
I mean, that's kind of what he's doing.
That's horrible.
He's trying to.
Really?
He's trying to figure out what's wrong with his future, what's causing the problem, which is basically what he was doing before, because of his. He was sent there to, like, because his father was, like, disappearing, and he sent him there, the head of Alchemax. And he sent him there because time was being messed up somehow. And in this, something shifted it so much that it turned it into that. He's trying to figure out somewhere along the line what is doing that.
He's going
to
prevent Secret Wars from happening.
He only goes there to see, like, the look and see if it's changed.
Okay.
And then he goes back. Because he can't be there, I don't think, for a certain amount of time either. Like, the portal doesn't have enough time to do that, but it's not bad. Like, it wasn't bad, a bad run. I'd like to see what they're doing with it, but as I said, if it gets derailed by a bunch of stuff all over again, I'm done with it.
Which I think they've already talked about some sort of event for all the Spider books that's coming up soon.
And it's just like, that's probably when I'll just be like, that's it. There have been times where I've done that, where Amazing Spider-Man is the only book that I'll get. That's it. And, that's kind of where it's going for that. Now that you're back, because I don't know if you read it. Walking Dead.
I never read it.
Okay.
Yeah, I read it.
Not bad. A lot of information, really.
Yeah.
They basically are fearing that, what's her name, Lila? Is that the
girl's
name? I think it's Lila.
Lydia.
Is it the ice soccer girl?
Yes.
Yeah. She's been staying there in Alexandria. But it's getting very tense at Alexandria, so they're trying to. They're just like, we got to move her somewhere else, otherwise they're going to kill her. And that was basically the issue.
She's a keeper.
Not a lot. Eugene seems to be almost leading them, which is really weird for his character.
Yeah, well, but and that part really doesn't make a lot of sense because he knew that the kid wasn't his anyway.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, you're mad that the chick that keeps cheating on you got killed. Like, come on, man. have some self-respect.
Yeah, it was... It's just the... Yeah.
I'm not saying don't go to war, but, you know, let's think this through a little bit.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand why they don't have a standing army.
Yeah, I don't get
after
that.
After all-out war...
They kind of have the guards that kind of...
But they're, like, patrolling to keep walkers away, you know, and, you know... I would think that they would have some kind of training program, like a reservist, if nothing else.
It seems like that's Rick's thing, though, that Rick doesn't want, like, he's wanting to do things differently. Like, nobody dies, we try them. And, you know, it's just like, that's why we still have Negan.
Yeah, well, I think that that's going to be good moving forward.
You know, it's just not, his world that he's setting up is just not going to last.
Right.
It's just not going to. It's one of those just issues that something happens. It's just to move the forward the story around. I think that's my problem with Kirkman.
Though. Yeah, I think it's to get it to the last issue of the arc, and
where
then,
you'll have a shocker at some point. You know,
but I think this was like the second or third issue of this arc, so we still got two or three more to go.
Yeah, I hope it moves on. I really do. JLA number 4.
I like that.
I did too. Superman's starting to figure out that.
Rao is,
something out there, Rao.
But what I liked was the Green Lantern stuff, where he was back in on Kandor in 300 years in the past, and Rao is an old man that's very weak. But
do you think Green Lantern had something to do with it?
No.
You don't think that time traveling was meant to happen, and maybe something that they do? No. I feel like something that's leading up to him going to this Argo.
Well, he was just standing there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rao changed to the young Rao again.
Yeah.
You know, he was given the power of the 12 elders or whatever it was.
They, like, sacrificed some of their life.
Yeah, like, to give to him.
Actually, yeah.
So I don't think it's, you know, now I agree Green Lantern's going to do something or not do something when they get to Argo that's going to kind of play into this.
Yeah.
But clearly Rao is not who everybody thinks he is.
There's more to it.
Yeah.
It's, but I think this issue was pretty good. I've actually thought the whole story has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as great as Jeff Johns' Justice League, and I think it's kind of shadowing it.
Yeah, and I talked about that when it first came out, because it came out the week after the Darkseid War started.
Yeah.
And that was my problem with it, was like, Darkseid War started off so well, it was a bit of a letdown, because there's going to be comparisons if they're shipping a week apart.
Yeah.
It'd be better if they were shipping every other week, so at least you got that week break where you weren't thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is the weaker of the two books, but it's still a good book.
Yeah, it's not a bad book. It really isn't. And it came out of this new wave, didn't it? And it's actually isn't. It's not bad, but I don't know how well it was played up either. As you know, I think people were a little confused about it coming out, that it was a new Justice League book, and people are still stuck on, well, how's it fit in? You know, what's with continuity? You know, it's just like, it's tough. You took that continuity thing away from them, and comic book fans, like, for some reason, dwell on continuity.
Well, I got to wonder how long it's going to last, too, because if Hitch is drawing it and writing it, after an arc, after this Rao story,
it really does.
Yeah.
It should be its own thing.
Unless that's the way they're going to do it. Similar to how they started with Moon Knight, where they have a different creative team an arc, and then the next creative team moves in.
Yeah.
Maybe that would work for this book.
Yeah.
It would keep things fresh for it.
That's I agree. It would but I like it. I think it's good that, you know, we have, like, the Justice League team, like, we understand how they should be. Like, Superman's flying, Batman is Batman, this. And then you have a book that, you know, it's kind of like that in the other book, but there's more going on with the event. And then seeing that, you know, with the new, how DC is working right now with characters like Superman being depowered, if you read Detective, I think that was not last week, but the week before, where the Justice League, how they are now, comes and tries to recruit Bat Gordon. And I thought that was kind of neat, because you see this, like, new type of Justice League that you've never seen before. But you have all of that. You have all of these different types of Justice Leagues that you can pick up. And I think it just gives you a lot of options.
Yeah.
Of stories.
It's like Elseworld without being Elseworld.
Yeah. So I've liked it. So I think it's really worth picking up. Earth 2 Society. This book, it's not as good as Earth 2. Like, and each book seems to be dealing with one character at a time, since it came out with number one. This one was about Flash, and Flash dealing with, you know, being on this planet and taking on the responsibility as a superhero, and how people are seeing him. And he goes to a new city. It's one of the new cities. I don't remember all their names right now. But they were welcoming on a billboard, and he kind of, you know, starts partying a lot because, you know, everybody looks up to him. They think he's really popular, and, you know, and they need him to actually be doing, you know, things to help. And he doesn't, he's kind of self-doubting himself. And
you can't self-doubt someone else.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
But that's true. But he just is, it's just, yeah, it's just not a lot going on, not a lot of story. It's not bad, it's not great. Like, it's, you know, I recommend the whole Earth 2 storyline if you're wanting something different, you know, out of your regular Justice League stuff. But, you know, it's just, you have to be either into it or you're not. You know, it's not, you know, if you don't really get it and you're looking for those characters that you're always looking for, it might not be your cup of tea.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't pick it up. I read the Earth 2 stuff from when it was New 52.
Yeah.
Kind of like midway through the run, I started reading it when it tied into World's End, and I thought it was really good too. I thought that there were plot holes though that just, and then when I read the A page preview between the plot holes and everything else, I'm just like, what? I'm just gonna let this go. And you know, you haven't said anything to make me say I got to jump back on this.
I thought they stuck too much to the war, like it was too much about their apocalypse and Darkseid and. Which was good. It made a really big story, but it kind of went on for too long where you were wanting to see these characters, you know, in their own cities doing stuff and their mm-hmm. own characters. It was just a little big of a story. You felt like you had to invest a lot into it. But I've liked it. I have. This needs to pick up, though, just a little bit. Chewbacca, number one. I liked it. I thought it was good. We just got out of reading Lando. Mm-hmm. Lando was a pretty good mini. This has its own thing going on. They did exactly what they had to do, which you have to bring in a girl or a human character who can talk, so she can be the voice of the book, where Chewbacca can do everything he's usually doing. Yeah,
I'm glad she's the rocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Exactly.
I'm glad they didn't have Chewbacca having thought balloons or
yeah,
anything like
that. Yeah, because that would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
Chewbacca and Groot. That's the new book.
Now I think this. Basically, I'm looking at this as it takes place before he meets Han Solo. That'd so it's going to be, gonna really be probably.
Pop. Yeah,
I'm going to say it's probably after Attack of the. Or I'm sorry, Revenge of the Sith. I'm going to say it's after that before New Hope. I'm going to say he hasn't met him yet. And maybe this will lead into that because he seemed to have his own ship.
I'm going
to
grab it and
that
see
he was
what
flying.
It says.
Yeah, see what it says.
Where, I thought it said where it took place.
Yeah, because I don't remember because of him having his own ship, he was flying, he somehow crash-landed, and he was trying to get parts. And that's when he runs into this girl whose her family was, like, enslaved to pay off bills that they could never pay off.
Well, that would actually, you know what, though, that would make sense. Okay, in the expanded universe, Han Solo rescued him. He was a slave, and Han Solo rescued him, and that's why he has
after,
a life debt.
It's after New Hope. The evil Galactic Empire's greatest weapon, the Death Star, has been destroyed by Chewbacca,
huh.
Warrior son of the planet, Kashyyyk.
See, I would have never thought Kashyyyk. That while reading it, because Kashyyyk, I would have said...
With some help from his trusty sidekick, Han, and his friends, Luke and Leia.
You have to know how to pronounce that, or else you can't use the Chewbacca defense.
Yeah, I just wouldn't see it as being after that because of
yeah,
him not being with Han.
No.
It seems like he was always with Han Solo.
Yeah.
His loner spacecraft proves to be what they refer to in the Outer Rim as a hunk of junk. So he's trying to get a flight motivator.
Now that seems whatever. Odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have read that. You shouldn't have read that, Dave.
Okay.
So this now book you was like awful. I didn't like it at all. And Chewbacca, what was he doing there? He should have been with Han Solo. There, everything changed. On
the
it.
One thing I liked about... So the girl comes in and is kind of hiding by him in this bar.
Oh, yeah.
And these people come in questioning, like, have you seen, you know, a girl? And he's looking at him just like, are you seriously talking to me? And they're like, never mind. And walk away. I did enjoy that. Just the look he gave was just really good. Just one of those, You're going to bother me? I'm eating. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
There was something you mentioned.
Who ripped their arms out of the shock?
Pretty much. That day where he was, where the art was really weird. That he
just
was running and then somebody was not where they should have been in the next panel.
Somebody runs past him or is walking away from him and then in the next panel.
They're walking towards him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was maybe they turned around and then.
Yeah, it was really just something like where you're just like, wait, they went away. Huh? So.
But I liked it. I mean, for it was fun. It reminded me.
You still
me a
have
lot
it, Dave, or did you put it back?
I'll put it back.
Okay, never mind.
It reminded me a lot of how Lando was. You know, you just know the character. You're just following this little story, and it's just something fun to read. Batman Superman. They kind of ended. Oh no, they haven't. They ended the last arc. That the previous issue was the end of the last. This is a new arc.
This is a new arc. I'm not loving this book a whole lot.
I don't like the dynamic between them.
No, and this one, it's
is this depowered Clark?
Yeah,
I like Greg Pak a lot. I don't think he knows how to write Bat Gordon that well.
I don't think he does either.
And he writes Bat Gordon as kind of an asshole.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. And I haven't really liked his character in the book. I don't mind Superman because he does know how to write Superman.
And I didn't love the art in this issue.
Yeah.
Much at all.
I don't like. Well, they introduce somehow. It's all these Superman stories seem to be focusing on this Wrath character.
Wrath and Vandal Savage.
Was Wrath the character from that Scott Snyder Unbound?
No, that was Wraith.
Oh,
different.
Wasn't that the Batman villain? That wasn't that also named him named Wraith, the detective? You remember that was like the anti-Batman?
Oh, you might be right. Can't remember his.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to look that up. But everything seems to be.
It's not a very creative name. It's word.
There's a lot of use of that name and stuff. In comics, especially. But you figure out that everything's being like kind of run by her, it seems. And then not only that, like Vandal Savage is working for her.
I think she's working for Vandal Savage.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so this really, it's all.
Yeah, I think Vandal Savage is kind of.
I also didn't like how he was drawn. Very odd.
Yeah.
And
this issue.
I like Vandal Savage. I find him kind of.
I like him as a character.
He had something to do with the whole Pandora thing, didn't they, in the New 52? Like, he was in that time period?
Yeah, he was.
That's what I thought. And I like him. I think he's kind of a neat character. I always liked him from the Justice League cartoon. They did that Earth X stuff where he took over as Hitler. And, it's not bad. Yeah, but I agree. He doesn't know how to write
Gordon
at
all. It was very convenient that Batgirl just happened to
save
Superman after Vandal Savage, you know, beat the hell out of him.
And then the other two show up as well. Grayson and.
And they looked really weird the way they were drawn. The art.
And then
he was
cold
really
for some reason. I was just like, you thought his suit. I mean, he's been in worse situations. You think his suit would have been okay?
Go in
winter, but not bad, not great.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not flat out bad, but it hasn't been good enough to where I think I want to continue with it. I think I might.
Not like it was. I thought he did a better job writing Bruce.
Yeah.
And stuff. But, you know, that was a very hit and miss book.
I feel like this book has been a lot of ups and downs. Like, I really love that first arc that came out with him and Jay Lee.
Yeah. And then that was another thing. I think that was that this issue or the last issue where he goes and visits Bruce in the park? Where Super Clark goes and visits Bruce?
Last, I think. It wasn't this
was
issue.
Was it? And they tried to draw the Jay Lee, like, park bench and everything.
I was like,
it doesn't fit. It's almost
work.
Like you scotch taped.
Did
like,
not work.
So, like, you were looking at it, you're like, why is this, like. Because it looked like it was alive. Like,
Jay
the park
Lee's,
bench he was sitting in was, like, going to be moving.
Jay Lee's style was so unique. You cannot try and.
Yeah, it was really weird. I get why he wanted to, because he wanted to go back to that scene.
Yeah.
From the beginning of that, from that book, and it just, I don't know, just did not work in that issue. But not, as I said, not bad, not great. It's, you know. Batman and Robin Eternal number 2.
I like it. I like that issue a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
so far, this book has been one of my favorites. I actually think this was really my pick of that week. And it has been. And it probably will be.
Yeah, like, that is up there, like, right now, sitting here, I'm excited to go home and read that book in Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
It's just really good. You're wondering, like, what. First, I love how they brought back Black Bat, which they're not calling that right now. She's
Cassandra Cain.
Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
And then you're wondering about this other character.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see who he's...
The orphan.
Yeah.
And it just...
And then what's the deal with the names and...
Yeah, exactly. And just this whole thing. The whole story just seems interesting. What Bruce had to do with any of this. Like, what did he know now that his memory's gone? Because I guess his memory's gone in this story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone everywhere.
And I don't know. It's fun. I can't. I don't want to tell too much because I want people to.
I do love the last panel though with the Red Hood. No, you don't say.
Yeah.
That part. That was really good. And that was a perfect Red Hood thing to say.
What surprised
at that point.
Me though is that she is such a force.
Yeah.
And she handed Grayson his ass. She took on the orphan. But then Red Hood somehow managed to...
Yeah, I thought that was odd.
Well, but the other thing is, Red Hood doesn't have a problem killing people. So, he may have just gotten... he was able to at least...
Yeah, he didn't...
Take her down.
He didn't go for lethal force. He subdued her. Without it, even.
Well, but he had the gun. It may have just been he got the drop on her before she got...
I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, without seeing what actually was going on, that's why I think that would have to be it.
Because, I mean, she's probably one up against people with guns. Do you think the gun thing itself started
well, I think,
her?
No, I think
down?
The fact he probably had the gun out, and then, he got the drop on her, and that was it.
Huh. I would think that I couldn't see her just kind of, giving up. It looked like he had her in a position where he beat her, and she, was scared to fight back. That's
well,
what I don't
but think. Here's the other thing. He's wearing the bat symbol. So, there's that... She was helping Grayson. She helped,
but she knew who Grayson was, and she still destroyed him when they were going at it.
Right, but that's what I mean. She's when someone uses lethal force or willing to use lethal force, you have to use lethal force to counter that. She wasn't willing to do that. Whereas with Grayson, he's not going.
No,
to
No, I get what you're saying, but. She still could have subdued him without using lethal. I mean, we can go back and forth.
Yeah, I don't think that that's how they were going
to
do
it. It was
that,
just surprising
though.
To me that they showed him.
That a bunch of other characters couldn't put this one down.
But I also think there's a reason why whatever took place off panel.
Just because they played her up to be such a tough character, and then it was just weird to suddenly show that panel with him, where he's, has his foot on top of her, and she's just, completely subdued.
Because she was even able to take out that. The orphan.
That's what I'm saying. She took out the orphan. She took out, Grayson. She
yeah,
was clearly
she
like,
pretty quick.
She was clearly a very powerful character.
But it's good. It really is. At first, when this book came out, I kind of was thinking, they're just trying to, tie onto the Eternal thing.
It feels like there is a really good mystery.
They got something
here.
Going
yeah.
on.
Yes.
So
the one other thing that is a bit odd though is, spoiler seems like she's a bit, better than she should be at this point.
Yeah.
Without
any training or anything like that. Yeah.
Wake up.
You wake up.
Have some more ginger beer.
Yeah, they've heard you for a while.
Yeah, you haven't said a word like...
I haven't read any of these books you're talking about.
You didn't read Batman, Robin, Eternal?
I did not.
What a loser.
You call yourself a purveyor of
comic trying to
books.
Read the number ones. Keeping up with the ones.
No one cares about what number ones.
Numbers don't matter, Colin.
But I need to sell the number one, so I got to talk about
it. Well, here, I'll talk about one that everybody probably read.
Okay.
It's Batman 45.
No, I didn't read it.
That was a good issue.
Yes.
A really good issue.
That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of these, like I said, I don't want to give, because especially Batman, because Batman, it just, every page is kind of, you don't want to ruin anything.
No, but...
Because everything you look at, you're like, oh, that's what's from this, and you go back to...
Yeah, there was a lot of callback other stuff.
They're doing a great job of making Bloom
a
very creepy, character, and there's definitely more going on with Powers than is on the surface.
Which we kind of were thinking anyways. Just mainly if you're from the generation that watched the show, you're just like, oh, it's a Powers.
And they're definitely setting up, Bruce to still have some sort of tortured, aspect to him.
Yeah.
But I did like the twist with him setting up what he did for the school.
The whole school thing. The
I mean, that's silly. It's silly to think that all that stuff is just like there.
Even the dinosaur was painted as Barney. Like, it was pink and green. Or purple and
but
green.
But they still had the Joker card on the swing set.
That was the only problem I had with that. I told him while I was reading it. I said, all these kids just went through a disaster, basically.
So, half of them lost their parents.
Taking over, and he's just like, put that on the swing set for all the kids to see.
Yeah.
Just like, that was dumb.
It's a clown!
It's a clown, yeah. I'm just like, oh my god, I'm never playing in that. And it's a dinosaur. If I go on that swing, I'm dead. Like... The penny was the merry-go-round.
I want to see a panel of him, like, cutting the hole in the back of the dinosaur's head. And there's no hand railings. That would never fly in a school.
Yeah, you're going to inspect that. They're just like, no.
It's Gotham. You think they inspect
it? I doubt that penny can even turn. Like, how heavy that thing is? I don't know. It's been good, though.
No, it was really good.
The only thing I didn't like about it was the end with Bloom and the fingers and everything was very reminiscent of the guy earlier during Zero Year.
Yeah.
With the plant formula and everybody's bones growing and that Buster stuff. Death. It was very similar to that.
Well, maybe it ties back.
Yeah,
to
that's
it.
Kind of what it I'm might. Thinking. Because when the first time we saw Bloom, I was thinking he was more along like a scarecrow type villain, but he's not. It's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, him showing up on that, and then all the... It's interesting, though, that how he uses his fingers, and they'll just stretch out. Mm-hmm. Like, he went through that the two police officers' ears, or the guards, and then he went through that party and did the same thing.
Snyder and Capullo do a great job of creating new rogues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the Court of Owls and Bloom,
and it's exactly how you're saying it. Like the both creators.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Whether it's the art on Capullo's art and how they
both
just look.
Both aspects have to be there. Like the writing has to be solid, but the art has to really sell. Sell it as
I don't
well
think they translate. It translate well. The other, like, if it was, like, if you took the artist, if you took Greg Capullo off of that and had another person draw him, I don't think it would have been.
I mean, it depends who the artist is, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but...
Murphy.
Well, yeah, he probably could. But yeah, I mean, it has been. It's just been a fun arc as well.
I really think it's being remedia.
Well, they said he's working on a prequel issue.
One issue.
Right.
Why would they take him off Superman altogether for just one issue?
Remedia probably could draw that.
Remedia would work for Batman instead.
Not with the school.
Hmm?
Couldn't have a school in the issue because all these kids would have giant heads.
But like, this is a school for bobbleheads. He's right, though. That looked awful with Captain America.
Right
for a change.
What else did you read? Talk.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, now he's not telling too much.
It was good.
No, it was good.
Like, I don't read enough.
Because normally it's I didn't read anything.
Well,
I'm not talking about it.
Books. Throughout like months, we haven't had any.
Hey.
I don't know.
He's trying to sell them. He can't write them and draw them and sell them.
Oh, well, we know he can't write.
Pat?
Well, I only got one because Adam talked about all the rest. Rebels. Dave, did you read this?
I read Rebels, yeah.
So this was a one-shot, and it was the story of Molly Pitcher, who was a woman in the Revolutionary War. Her husband was a commander of a field artillery unit. Her husband was wounded in battle. Initially, she was just kind of part of the caravan that helped feed soldiers and you know, kind of did some rudimentary nursing, things like that. Well, when her husband got injured, she took over his cannon and continued the fight. And then what was customary in the time was if the husband died, she would get half the pension. And her husband eventually succumbed to his wounds and died a few days later. But before that happened, her husband made a request that not only should she get half his pension, but because of her service, she should get a pension of her own. And, it was kind of a cop out, but what they said was, well, no one can prove that you were really there, so you're not going to get your pension, but you'll still get your husband's half pension. But it was a very different story than what they had been telling. And it was really interesting. Like I said, this, you know, Molly Pitcher is actually, you know, again, based on a historical person. And her name was actually Sarah something.
Sarah Hall.
Hall. Okay. Yeah. But I, you know, growing, like in grade school, I learned as Molly Pitcher. So that's when it was.
Yeah.
Very good issue. The art's really good on it.
It was excellent. This is the best thing I read last week. I don't know why I love this book so much, because I'm not like a history buff, really, or a military buff, but just the humanity in these stories. Because at the end, when they come, the officers tell her, you know, if we granted you a full military pension, we'd have to give every woman one. They didn't say it like with that tone. Well,
but that is what they did.
With that tone. But 200 years later, you see the irony of that statement.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And it just, it was just so good.
So.
Skipping out?
No. But that's, I can't recommend that book enough. That's probably been the best new book I've read all year.
I agree with you. I think all year.
Yeah.
Wow. I think it's that good.
Yeah.
I do.
This has been an outstanding
series. I think this should be in school libraries
and
have kids reading this stuff. I think it's suitable for grade school. I don't know.
He had a kid
in high school, but man, it is so good.
Yeah. He had a kid come in, or it was like a parent or something, came in asking for something Civil War related.
Really?
And comics. And we had something like on the. That we were thinking that we knew was existed, but we couldn't find it. That was one thing that, not because it's a war related, because it's not. It's
no.
Revolutionary, but and I didn't know anything. I didn't know that much that it was actually. Colin told me it was made for even for schools, like the.
He wants to get it into schools. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, the way it's written, it definitely would work in schools because there's nothing in there questionable. Although there's battles in there, you know, it's not like gory war wounds and people cutting limbs off or anything like that. No. So
it's enough that you would know anyways from history.
Yeah.
Some kid. What age group would you recommend it for though? Like with all that?
I would say probably
bad language in it at all.
No, but I would probably start at like fifth or sixth grade
because
the themes in it are.
Probably what they'd be learning at school anyway.
Well, yeah, but that's part of it. But the other thing, you know, like the stuff with him being away from his wife and having a kid and then coming back and all that. Like, I wouldn't give that to a second grader.
Yeah, because they wouldn't get it.
But like a fifth or a sixth grader, I think that would work.
Yeah, they wouldn't be mature enough to understand those themes. Yeah. But it is really good. Mike.
Yeah. How long is it going to go? Like,
I think it's ongoing. It's going to start a new arc here. This was just a one shot, I guess, to give them a break in between what they did. And I don't know.
I think it had different artists than the first.
It did.
Huh. So. That's something I'd like to look into myself, actually. Yeah. It seems really interesting.
Dave?
Dave's not here, man.
He's
right here.
You have to hold it up in the air.
We know who Dave is because we're going to interrupt
him. Just a couple number ones. How about the Twilight Children?
Yeah, I like those.
Number one.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, now, I did
art,
too.
I was stunned only because Darwin Cook has done so much creator-owned stuff that on this I was wondering if he would give it his all, you know, being able to just work for hire. But, man, it was beautiful.
Yeah
it was beautiful. You introduce all the characters, and it's this coastal town, and you have the girl, Tito, who's cheating on her husband, I guess, with another
guy. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah. And... And the drunk, Fundo, and the three kids. There's three kids. And a glowing ball shows up in the ocean. And apparently, you know, you're led to believe this has happened before. And they, for some reason, they let the drunk watch for it, but it disappears, which they have done before. And
it was his job to watch it because he found it and he passed out from drinking or fell asleep.
Yeah.
And then woke up and it wasn't there and
he
freaked out.
And it shows
then
up.
It started showing up all over the place.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. It's only a 4-issue miniseries. But yeah, the art is beautiful. The story is definitely kind of a cool mystery. They did a good job of fleshing out the different characters and, you know, did a lot of characterization in that first issue. It was a surprise. It was really solid.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where it's going or what to make of it so far, but
yeah, all of a sudden something happened with the globe, and the three kids are now blind. It would
be better to judge on all the four issues of how he accomplishes what he wanted to accomplish with the story.
Yeah, but really, really beautiful.
Do you have copies left here in case?
I do not. I am out right now. I will get more in. Sold out. Sold out. I would.
The other number one I read was I Hate Fairyland.
Okay. I meant to. It's in my
pile. I like the other one.
I love
Fairyland, but the book is called I Hate Fairyland. This is by Scotty Young. Art and words. This starts off with a little girl, Gertrude. She's like 5 years old or so. And in the first page, she gets sucked in the fairyland. She's having like a tea party with her stuffed animals in her room. And she gets sucked through the carpet in the fairyland. And Queen Claudia tells her, you know, you have to go on this quest and you can get back home. So you turn the page and it's like 27 years later and she's still stuck in fairyland, but she's aged that 27 years, but she still looks like a 5-year-old girl. So she's a very jaded and now violent 5-year-old. So she's blowing up, you know, the twinkly stars in the sky, and they fall to earth and they're all bloody. And causing all kinds of havoc in fairyland, trying to get home. And the queen sends like a bounty hunter after her. It was good. I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure, you know, how long the premise can last, because there's just no subtlety in the characters at all.
Why did they bring the character, like the girl there?
Well, I don't know if they're going to explain that. Or
they just brought her there just to set, and they're just like, when she comes violent, let's kill her with a bounty on her.
Yeah, why did...
Now she can never go back, because she's going to be like a mental patient.
Maybe she'll learn a valuable lesson from all this, like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
I think she will.
Tough love.
Yeah, really. Dorothy went and killed all the munchkins. Like.
And you were there, and you were there, and I hate you all.
You were there, and I killed you. Wow.
But I don't know if it's an ongoing or a miniseries. These Image books, you never seem to know sometimes.
What, that was an Image book?
Mm-hmm. That was an Image book, yeah.
Oh, look at them. They're doing work on your bags. Look at him over there doing work. He's helping you out.
No, it's about time he does something.
He's trying to stay awake.
Because it's the only thing he can trust you with.
That's all I had. Did you talk about... I didn't talk about Bloodshot last week, Josh. Were you going to talk about that, or it's from 2 weeks ago?
Go for it.
Maybe you could help me, because I can't remember what happened.
You start off, chime in.
But there's this guy named Bloodshot.
So Ray... So in this issue, not a whole lot incredible happened, I don't think, compared to...
Well, this issue, they try to go after this, you know, other person who has been hunting down the people that are infected with the nanites, and find out that he may be a bit more knowledgeable in terms of how to control and use the nanites than they suspected.
Okay.
That he was. And actually, they were hunting him down, I guess, directly. There was one more person still, and they had to get to it first, because if the other guy got to it first, he would have more nanites in him and essentially be more powerful.
Right, figure out he's like hunting Bloodshot too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of a race to try and get to this you know, last one.
And then the other interesting thing was the agents, Hoyt and Festival, they meet some contact, and he tells them there's such thing as Bloodshot Island.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's some future arc, Bloodshot Island, that's coming up.
Okay.
It looks like this book's gonna jump into the future with the next arc. Pretty big jump.
I already saw his death.
That was a good issue.
So hopefully it's a lot like Gilligan's Island.
Take that back. But it was cool, like there was a pretty, you know, big twist in this issue where, you know, like I said, you find out that the
the main threat, he may be more knowledgeable with the nanites than they suspect, and they kind of lured Bloodshot into a trap, and you get a very, you know, creepy image to end the issue with him.
Yeah, that was a good image.
With him, looks like he's about to, like something bad is about to happen to Magic. But it was good. It was really good.
It was a really good book. Yes, it's been a great series.
I love that this book. I do too. I'm trying to decide if it's my favorite Valiant book right now. It's really solid. I would really, if you want to try something different, I would highly recommend coming in and picking up the first trade, especially if you're interested in, you know, dabbling in a shared universe that's not the main, you know, Marvel or DC universe.
What the Valiant book do you think would be better than? Are you enjoying more than Bloodshot, you think?
I mean, I'm liking Book of Death a lot.
Didn't you like Ninjax?
I like Ninjax a whole lot. I don't like it more than Bloodshot.
Ninja K.
Yeah, I don't like it more than Bloodshot. I like Imperium a whole lot. I like Ivar. Okay. They're all. Okay. I've been enjoying most of them.
Okay.
I think I read all of them except for Exo, and only because I didn't read Exo from the beginning, so I was behind.
Well, that's high praise, because Bloodshot's been really good.
Yeah.
That's all I have. Everything else has been covered.
Well, since Adam mentioned Ninja K, I will. I'll talk about that one first.
As opposed to Special K.
So, Ninjak, the past few issues have been, you know, pretty much the same format where he's going after this, you know, board almost from this Weaponeer organization, and these different members from this board are different, like, supervillains. And each issue has been a, you know, brief history behind who they are, a big fight between them, and Ninjak wins. And I was kind of worried that we would be going through this for, you know, 7 issues, all very, you know, the same formula, and it would kind of get boring after a while. But this issue definitely changes it up a little bit. So he's going after this guy named Fitzy, and you find out that he is a master of all known, you know, fighting styles and martial arts. But as you're getting into his history, you find out that he's a clone, and he was working with Dr. Silk, who has been a pretty big villain in the Valiant universe, and he also has ties in the future of the universe with Rai. But Fitzy is not, you know, who you were initially led to believe he is, and you find out that he's not a villain like the other ones. He essentially infiltrated this, you know, Weaponeer organization to try and get closer to the, you know, the villains and kill them. So, you know, even though he's on the same side as Ninjak, he won't join up with them because he wants to make sure he can, you know, use lethal methods and take care of things the way he sees fit. But Ninjak still, you know, tranked him anyways, and they're going to take him in. So I think it's setting up for him to have a bigger role in the Valiant universe. But he was a really interesting character, and his history, I mean, it was really well done, and it got me on board for wanting to see more with the character. And they set up with the end of this issue a way for them, I think, to wrap up this arc in one more issue without going through 4 more encounters with these characters. But it was good. It definitely was a pleasant surprise to see it wasn't just going to keep following this formula to go through 7 antagonists. Unity, number 23. So there's only 2 more issues of Unity left before this series wraps up. And this issue brings the start of the revenge of the Armor Hunters. So the Armor Hunters, this is a big event for Valiant. I think it was it last summer, Colin?
For which?
The Armor Hunters event with Valiant.
Ooh, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was last summer. So the Armor Hunters, their whole thing is the Exo armor that Exo Manowar wears. It brings this virus with it. And they have, you know, personally been, you know, the victims of this virus, like seeing, you know, loved ones and home worlds destroyed because of it. So they are trying to capture all these different Exo armors and destroy them and sanitize anywhere that they have been and anyone that's come in contact with them. So they came to Earth and immediately, you know, nuked a city and laid, you know, waste to, you know, several areas of the planet during the course of the event. Well, you know, obviously the Unity team was able to, you know, destroy them. There were three members that were left alive. One who became a member of Unity, and that's, you know, the giant, you know, robot spaceship Ginger. There was one that was captured, and you find out they've been experimenting on him since the, you know, initial event. And then one who was a member of the Armor Hunters, but when he got infected with the virus, they turned on him and tried to kill him as well. Malgum, who's been not necessarily a prisoner, but he's been on board Ginger with the Unity team, but kind of keeps to himself and just, you know, sits in this room constantly interacting with holograms of the Armor Hunters, that just his friends, because that's all he's comfortable with. So this issue, you're on board. It's taking place on board Ginger and in this hidden base where they're experimenting on this captured member of the Armor Hunters, and he is, you know, saying repeatedly that, you know, they left one alive, and the Armor Hunters never leave a man behind, and they're going to be coming after him. And suddenly there's these fighter jets that are flying in on a collision course to the base, and they don't know what's going on. And then, you know, things are acting up on Ginger where she's locking them out of their controls and going on a collision course towards the base. And it's setting up to, you know, be this return of the Armor Hunters. And what's interesting is, as you're seeing them go through the recounting of what happened previously, I realized that one of the Armor Hunters wasn't there. They weren't mentioning this kind of like digital construct. That's what one of the Hunters was, this kind of digital construct. And you find out that that's the one that's behind everything that's going on. So it's not necessarily that Ginger's term, but this, you know, one is controlling everything else. So it's only a 2-issue arc, this Revenge of the Armor Hunters. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because in the Book of Death Ninjak, Fall of Ninjak issue, it painted a picture of a much larger encounter with the return of these Armor Hunters, where they, you know, came in and essentially laid waste the entire planet and left kind of an apocalyptic world after it was over. So I don't think that's going to happen in this 2-issue arc, but I am curious to see where it sets up after that. What else do I have here? Justice League United. So this book ends in December, I think. This is a weird book. This book, since its relaunch with Jeff Parker, has been a rotating cast of members with the same core. So the core has been Stargirl and Equinox and Animal Man, Alana Strange. But this current team they have put together has those core members, plus it has Batgirl and Vandal Savage and Cliff from Doom Patrol. I forget who else is with them. But they're inside this time bubble where past and future are colliding and caught in this, you know, ongoing, you know, war or battle. And so you have World War II soldiers fighting in a European city that was occupied by the Nazis, but there's all this future tech as well. And one of these, you know, Nazi like fighter planes has futuristic ammunition. There's not a whole lot going on. You're seeing all these different, you know, interactions with different segments of the group. So Vandal Savage runs into these soldiers that he knew when he was working with the Nazis in this city, and they found out he was a collaborator with the Nazis. And so when they run into him here, they don't understand that he's, you know, a future version of himself. They recognize him as this guy who they recently discovered as a collaborator. So they're trying to kill him. And Stargirl runs into this, looks like a version of Hawkman, who is a Nazi fighter pilot. Also, yeah, Steel's in this as well. So Steel is with Cliff. It's an okay book. Like I said, it's a very weird book. And it's kind of all over the place. It sets up that the
big thing behind this whole, you know, time bubble is OMAC. But yeah, it's just okay. I mean, at this point with only two issues left, I guess I wouldn't recommend anyone jumping onto it, unfortunately. But it's surprising because I like Jeff Parker. I liked his Aquaman run. I thought that this would be better. I like the idea of the rotating, you know, cast of members. But yeah, it's just been so-so. And then the last one I'll mention is Constantine number 5, which wrapped up this this first arc. So he's been, you know, investigating and going after this threat that has been killing off spirits or ghosts. So all these spirits and ghosts that have been attracted to him because of something he did to them or some, you know, ties he had to them when they were living have been getting killed off permanently and suffering this, you know, fate worse than death at the hands of this creature. And we found out in the last issue that this creature was actually a manifestation of his ex-girlfriend Veronica, who, as she was, you know, slipping further and further out of control, he kind of turned his back on her, and so did Georgie. So in this issue, he's trying to find a way if he can either save her, what he has to do, and he talks to, you know, who was Georgie's teacher at one point, and finds out that really the only, you know, solution to freeing her is to, you know, kill her or death, and it's up to him to decide if it's, you know, murder or if he's doing her a favor. But in, you know, Constantine fashion, he doesn't want to do it himself, so he kind of tricks, you know, Georgie into doing it for him. He doesn't tell her any, you know, details. He just says, if you help me this one last time, I'll leave permanently. You won't have to deal with me again. So she comes with him, and then she finds out that it was Veronica who, before she was Constantine's ex-girlfriend, she was, you know, her girlfriend. So immediately she's, you know, broken up that, you know, she had no idea that this was Veronica, and she wants to try and save her, but as she's finding out that she can't save her, Constantine, you know, leads her towards killing her off. And I thought it was setting it up so that whatever he was doing was going to have some negative impact on Georgie, but it wasn't the case. It was just a matter of, you know, he got her to do the dirty work for him, and
Constantine.
Yeah, it was a good issue. It was a solid, you know, Constantine issue, with ending with him apparently leaving permanently. So we'll see where the next arc goes. But this first arc of this book has been really good. I think it's a huge improvement over the previous Constantine series that we had. So I would very much recommend anyone's interested, pick up. I don't know if you have all the issues for this, pick those up or jump on with issue 6. I think it's going to be a good jumping on point. It was really good. I like it. And the art's been fantastic. We've gotten a lot of flashbacks.
It was Riley Rossmo, right?
Yeah, okay. I believe so. So there's been a lot of flashbacks through this series where you're seeing his history, especially his history with Veronica, where it's, you know, very bright colors, very chaotic energy, with the present where it's, you know, very dark and dingy, kind of depressing. And it's, the art's done a good job of conveying the emotion and just the general energy behind the different time periods, but it's really good.
Cool. Rich?
The only one I have, which be kind of brief, I guess, is Sex Criminals number 13. And this one kind of departed from the main storyline, which has been following this couple who kind of use their special specialness to rob banks, I guess, for lack of a better term. So, that may not be
banks?
That may not be a word.
Special term, banks.
But this one mostly, most of the issue introduces a new character, and it's a girl, but it's kind of like this different direction because she's basically like asexual, so she's almost not interested in sex, but somehow she can still enter this altered state, like when she like basically gets into like base jumping. So when she like jumps off a building, that's when like she enters this sort of like suspended, you know, time.
Okay.
Kind of. So, but at the end, she encounters one of the characters who the couple were trying to track down in their quest to sort of put together a renegade army to fight the sex police that they've been going after, kind of thing.
Sex police.
So she's talking to this guy's sort of creation that he creates in these, you know, time things, whatever, at the end. So that was pretty much it. So there wasn't really anything sort of moving the main, you know, storyline along other than adding another character, which will somehow come into play, I reckon, at some point. But okay. That was about it. So it's still, and this one didn't have as much, most of the first, you know, a lot of the issues have a lot of, like, background stuff, which is where it's kind of funny, because I think it's Chip Zdarsky that does the art, and he, you know, the product names and stuff, you know, it's all very thematic, you know, and he does a really good job. This one was kind of fairly benign in that regard.
Well, he's busy doing Howard the Duck and Jughead.
So that was the only other one I had. So.
Okay.
Colin, what do you have?
Me? So, me. Captain America, Sam Wilson, number one. I liked it a lot.
Really?
I did. We're the first Captain America, all new Captain America.
Really?
Prior to coming out, you've kind of poo-pooed on that one a little bit.
When did you come out, Colin?
I don't know. Somebody's transferring. Well,
exactly. What?
It's okay. We're all friends here.
No, it just, the other one didn't go that long. The other one, I don't even know if it hit double digits. That's the only reason I'm like, why do we need another number one? But in it, basically, Sam Wilson, Falcap, has, during a press conference thing, said something along the lines of Black Lives Matter. They didn't really tell you exactly what it was, but he made a lot of people angry. Cap is basically, won't talk to him. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. has revoked their clearance. It starts off with him capturing some bad guys and turning them over to S.H.I.E.L.D., and S.H.I.E.L.D. basically saying, you have 3 seconds to get out here or we will arrest you. So things have gone bad for Sam. He gets back to his, I guess, base of operations, basically his apartment. Misty Knight is there, as well as D-Man, that's his team, Misty Knight and D-Man. You remember D-Man from the Avengers?
You remember he died.
He apparently got better, as do most Marvel characters. But it was good, and it's basically, at the very end, he runs into the Sons of the Serpent from an old Avengers issue that I listened to on the Avenging Hour coming back from Baltimore. So that was kind of funny. Who were basically, you know, anti-everybody, kind of, you know, in the desert. So it was interesting. It was good. I think it was... I want to say it was Acuna art. I'm not 100% sure right now, sorry. But it was good. The only things that I question is he's also in the all-new, all-different Avengers.
Yeah.
And I remember from... Now, I'm only going by the Free Comic Book Day one, and what I barely remember is a book that came out 5 months ago. But he seemed to be kind of the leader of the team. And because the rest of the team is Ms. Marvel, who's just learning her powers.
Miles.
Thor, who doesn't really know. Miles, who's going to be new to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Kid Nova...
Sam Alexander, yeah.
And then Vision.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming he's the leader of the team.
Well, it's either going to be him or Vision.
But how is he going to be the leader of the team if everyone hates him? You know, the entire country hates him. So
we have 8 months to find out.
Continuity doesn't matter.
Right. Well, no, you're right. But it's one of those, okay. So, but no, I thought it was good. Number two's next week.
Is Red Wing in this?
Probably. I don't remember Red Wing specifically, but...
We had that discussion that I thought Red Wing died.
Well, no, but Red Wing would be Falcon's... He's not Falcon anymore, he's Cap.
Okay. Yeah.
So is he just like, taking on a new costume, you have been evicted, Red Wing.
he painted his wings.
He's not working at McDonald's somewhere.
Because I thought maybe that was like the big,
no.
big change from Secret Wars. Red Wing came back.
No.
That was all it was.
So then Uncanny Avengers, which is weird in the sense of it's Steve Rogers, this is his team, the Uncanny Avengers, going back to the first Uncanny Avengers book where it was designed to have humans and mutants, and now they're integrating Inhumans to make everybody happy. So Rogue is there, and she like has to drink a potion to keep her from feeling the effects of the Terrigen Mist that are killing mutants.
Potion.
It was some liquid.
Just like, what?
You have... who else was in it?
I guess.
Daisy Johnson.
No. So you had Steve, Deadpool, who nobody likes. Spider-Man quits the team in the first issue because Deadpool's on the team. And Cap trusts Deadpool more than Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can see that.
Makes perfect sense. I'm trying to think about, you had Quicksilver. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble.
Scarlet
Witch wasn't it, but there was some new Inhuman girl. Like, had some sort of big Japanese symbol, and she could, God, I don't remember what she did. She could, like, something with people's thoughts and stuff, because they were attacked by robots, so it kept
Are you giving a positive review of this book?
Not particularly. Brother Voodoo was on the team. I swear, between this and New Avengers, it's like they had a draft. Okay, who do you want? Why want this guy?
Oh, actually, I thought that they said...
Was it? Okay, good. Yeah. Because I sold out of it.
Okay, good.
No, I didn't like the art. Todd Knock, who's not terrible, but some of his arms and stuff, there was a Spider-Man arm that had so many bumps.
Todd Knock's arms?
No, the way he drew Spider-Man's arms were really weird. But it just... But it wasn't great. It was just a book. You know, there's a new Inhuman bad guy, and they have to go fight him. And
No one cares about Inhumans. Yeah.
You also said that the art didn't really sell it for you because it felt almost cartoony. Like even
it was very cartoony.
Books.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem with looking at the book was that. And the other thing was
$5.
Well, yeah. The other thing was the team just does not cry out at you Avengers anymore. Well, X-Men doesn't cry out to you X-Men.
That was one thing I mentioned to Jermaine, is there's no core X-Men or Avengers book right now.
When you say this is Steve Rogers, is it old man Steve Rogers?
It's old man Steve Rogers, yes.
Who the hell wants to read an old man Steve Rogers?
He's great. He's 90 years
old.
He's 90 spry.
Years old. He goes to King's at 4 o'clock.
He does.
To get
he does. That's where they had their meeting.
Unless he has a coupon at a buffet. Yeah. It's just like, I go there.
So, and then there was also New Avengers, which
Kings right now
is basically spinning out of Avengers World, where it's Sunspot from the New Mutants has bought AIM, and now it's Avengers idea mechanics, and they're taking over AIM Island, and this team is Songbird, Sunspot, Songbird, Squirrel Girl. Crap, I'm really bad.
Are they all members with S?
No, no. I don't remember all the teams, but it was just one of those. Any team that has Squirrel Girl. And then they're getting a surprise inspection by S.H.I.E.L.D., who deliver Hawkeye, who's going to be the infiltrator and going to report back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because he works for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, Hulkling. Hulkling's in it from the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's just like literally random characters.
Yeah,
apparently in the 8 months that we haven't watched.
When is the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where Hawkeye is now S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
And where the Avengers have to report to S.H.I.E.L.D.? When did that happen?
Hawkeye's been S.H.I.E.L.D. He was in Secret Avengers with S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's when he did join. That's been so long ago.
Yeah. So it just, and Squirrel.
That was right before Secret Wars.
Yeah, when William H. Macy was in it.
No, yeah, you're right. He joined it right at that time, didn't he? Because there was the one before the Secret Adventures before he was.
Yeah, there was the Nick Spencer.
Yeah, I kept thinking of that one. He was on it, but he wasn't.
But the Alex Cotland he was in. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, teams aren't selling me on this book. Like you're looking at, you're like, I don't care about Squirrel Girl anymore. Quit trying to force her down everybody's throat.
Well, and the other thing with Squirrel Girl is, I remember back when she was in whatever it was, New Avengers, where she was the babysitter. She was just like a girl, and she had some weird, like, paint on her eyes type of thing. She was the babysitter for Luke Cage's baby and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she may have had a tail. I don't remember specifically. But in this one, she's got these teeth going down to her chin, and she's talking with Tippy Tap, who's her little pet squirrel.
Yeah,
it was just, what? And even, like, Matt, who hardcore Avengers guy, buys every Avengers book. He's like, I don't think I want the next issues of these. So I'm like, okay. And then
hardcore people aren't going to read it.
Right. Well, no, but then you have all new, all different Avengers, which is this younger team with Ms. Marvel and trying to pull in the younger audience. I'm like, that's great. But what do you have for your guys? What do you have for your 35-year-old guy who loves Avengers? Well, now you've cutified all your teams. And, you know, Deadpool. Everybody loves Deadpool. And everybody loves Squirrel Girl.
There's not a problem.
Everybody loves Ms. Marvel.
To market it towards the movie audience.
What is the requirement to become an Avenger? You have a costume, you're an Avenger
if
now?
Deadpool can be an Avenger.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
With his little card signed by Steve Rogers and Obama. You know, I'm just like, Really? Yet you kick out Captain America. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So, yeah, it just...
What's their problem with using even movie characters? Why aren't they trying to market more of the movie characters as a...
I'll get to that next week. Oh. I'll give you a preview, but yeah, I don't know. Well, not even movie characters. Oh, yes, yes. In the last place you'd expect to see it. So, and then the last book...
DC book?
No.
Justice League? Yeah.
Fair enough. No, fair enough. No. And then the last book I read was the new Black Mass book called Clandestino, which was really good. This company's blown me away. The writer-artist, I couldn't even try to say the name, has been apparently in the little back matter, said has been working on this for 7 years and has just finished issue 6 and was very tempted to go back and redraw issue 1 because I'm not 100% sure, has changed so much in style over the 7 years, but decided to leave it and said, I went back and fixed some things that you'll never notice, but bug them. But basically, it's like a Central American country. There was a military coup, and it starts off interestingly in that it's kind of like, oh, crap. Karnak. Everything's going to come back to Karnak. But so it starts off with there's a gas station, and this truck pulls up, and these ruffian guys go in and are basically saying, let's go make our collection. So, and then all of a sudden this guy pulls up, and he goes inside. He goes to gas up. He goes to light a cigarette. His matches are empty. So he goes inside while these guys are... you know, collecting.
Place.
Well, not robbing, but collecting from the guy. Yeah. And he's like, no, this ain't happening. And so you can kind of tell he's a rebel where these are government people or, you know, not really government people, but, you know, working for the dictator. And he kind of takes them all out. And then at the end just looks at the guy and takes a lighter, says, I'm taking this, and takes a lighter. And he goes off. He's got long, stringy black hair and shades. So then Flash... to the coup actually happening, and this little kid hiding behind his mother, and the mother saying run as she steps in front after the coup. Father's already shot himself because he wouldn't give them the pleasure of killing him. And so then you immediately know this little kid was actually the guy from the beginning, who's now, so he was the son of the president, who's now has gone off, and he's joined the rebels, and they're there to take out the military complex, which it was just really good. It was really, you know, a good book. You'd like it, Pat. It was very Punisher-esque type of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, really good. Just another one from Black Mask. It was funny because I had somebody come in on Tuesday, and he was like, wow, you're the only place I've ever found, you know. I've been looking for this book and didn't find it.
When's the Young Terrorist one
coming back? I don't know. Well, that first one took a while, so it'll be back. So that one was really good. So that's all I read. Karnak, just we're getting to Karnak. I read it only because it was Warren Ellis. I don't have a great fondness for the character. Not quite sure how he's alive, other than the mentioning that he found the flaw in death and was able to come back from the afterlife.
Okay.
I really don't remember the character at all.
Karnak? Oh, I mean, he's been around with the Inhumans forever.
Yeah. I know
but at the first issue of Inhumanity or whatever, I think that was the first one, he jumped out of a building. Because he saw the flaw in life and killed himself. Nice. So without saying what it was, there was like some huge flaw that he couldn't go on living and killed himself. And you're like, what? And then the next issue came out 6 months later with a different writer and you gave up. In that issue, Coulson has to go get him to try to, because they have to try to rescue somebody. And S.H.I.E.L.D. can't do it.
It must have been Tahiti.
Because it's somebody who turned inhuman. So Karnak had the right of way to go try to get an Inhuman where S.H.I.E.L.D. couldn't do it. But Coulson was in there, and one of the things that he made a comment about was that American movies always use the big blow-up at the beginning and then get into the story later.
Yeah.
And he made reference to it, so that was when I thought about this book, when I started talking about it. I'm like, yeah, it had the big blow-up at the beginning and then got into the story later. So that's all I read.
That's it.
But that was 8. Geez, that was 8. Oh no, I'm sorry. I missed one.
And what's your preview about next week?
No, Karnak. Just to talk about it next week because that was one of this week's books. No. But I forgot one. Superman, Lois and Clark.
Yeah,
really neat book. Basically, if you read Convergence, in Convergence, pre-Flashpoint, Superman and Lois had a baby that was delivered by Dr. Wayne. Who was the Flashpoint
Batman.
Batman. Thank you. So they now, through everybody going back to where they wanted, because they were some of the people that went to stop Crisis, along with Flash and Supergirl and some others. Well, then they decided to go to Earth, whatever main Earth is called now. Mm-hmm. So they're there, and basically they're living on a farmhouse. They're in hiding because they don't want the world to know that there's a second Superman. Yeah. But they're also keeping in hiding because they're seeing that the Superman on this Earth is feared and hated, not loved like the previous Superman was.
Yeah.
So they're kind of keeping quiet. They took the last name White from Perry White, and they're happy they didn't call themselves Kent, because that would raise questions. But now the kid is a little bit older. The kid's aged a little bit, so young, like 8, 9, 10, you know, asking questions and stuff. And then something happens, and this is with depowered Superman, and something... And, like, he's doing little things that no one would notice, but, like, there was a hurricane coming, so he dug a trench in the ocean. Something is also affecting him, like it's affecting Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So his power is ebbing and flowing as well. It's not always total power.
So the power thing is, there's something greater to it than what
than just he used
his
solar flare.
That's kind of interesting for everybody following along with the main Superman book, actually.
So, and then at the end, he like has to do something. I don't know if he really exposes himself yet, but it's the potential. So he has on the black and silver costume almost from way back.
Yeah, in the death of Superman.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the costume that he has on. It was neat in the sense of, this is different. You know, we have a second Superman in the world. That's kind of like Titans Hunt today was kind of neat, because in it you have Dick Grayson going on a mission, something about Atlanteans, and then all of a sudden there's this guy as he's trying to stop this sale. Like somebody's harvesting superhuman body parts to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, here are these lungs because your lungs are failing. The added side effect is you can now breathe underwater. Well, all of a sudden there's this Atlantean stopping them. Or, you know, just blowing everybody away. And Grayson's like, no, you know, my mission was just a whatever. And the guy kind of fights him, but doesn't really, and then disappears. But it's Garth. Tempest.
Yeah.
From the old Teen Titans. Then you had Arsenal at this place, and he sees a water tower, and it looks like a T, and it, you know, triggering something in his head. And then he goes to a liquor store to buy a bottle of booze, and he buys it from some caveman-type guy who apparently was in West Coast Avengers.
Yeah.
And then...
West Coast Titans.
Oh, okay.
Titans, I'm sorry. And then...
Yeah, West Coast Avengers.
No, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. But then... And then Mal is up getting this award for music or something. So it's just... It's like all they're like half kind of remembering there was something before. So it almost looks like they're starting to unravel New 52, possibly. Who knows? But it's they're playing with it a little bit more, which I kind of like. It's just a different story...
maybe we can get another Thomas Wayne series.
Yeah, that'd be good. So that was good. Lois and Clark was really good. The Titans Hunt that came out this week was good. I got a head start on this week. So.
Good work.
I also read, what was it? Oh, yeah. And then it was weird. Marvel hit the ground running with all these books at once. And then, like, this week we only had Ant-Man and Uncanny Inhumans. It's like, where are all these number ones? We're supposed to get 40 number ones this month. And we only got two this week.
They're all coming next week.
No, they're not.
Well, what is coming next?
So, hey, would you like to know what's coming next week, Pat?
I would like to know what's coming next week.
We have Angela, Queen of Hell, number one. Oh, the demand for that has been through the roof.
How many pre-orders you have
for that? You know what? I'm going to transfer the people over from the previous Angela series, so we'll see how that goes.
I'll have you put them back.
Art Ops is the new Vertigo book. This week it was Clean Room by Gail Simone. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but that should be good. Batman Eternal 4. Wow, 4 weeks. They're staying on. You can't schedule these things, but they're doing their best.
Yeah.
Black Magic number one, which I think is a Rucka book from Image.
Yes, it is. It's Rucka and Nicola Scott.
Okay. Now, there is a magazine size variant, so if you want one, let me know. I only ordered in 5. Because they did that a little weird. They made it very confusing. Like, that was supposed to be cover B, and then they added a cover B and moved that to cover C, but transferred our order numbers from one to the other. It just... They've been doing some stuff like that that makes it really confusing. Hey, what's that, Josh?
Book of Death number 4.
Also have Captain America Sam Wilson 2, Chewbacca 2, Cyborg 4, that apparently nobody's getting. The DC Comics Bombshells Batwoman statue. We just got Catwoman today. Deadpool versus Thanos, number 4.
Pat. Fight Club number 2. Adam, don't talk about it. House of M number 4. Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you demanded it.
Who did?
Somebody did. Justice League Dark Side War Batman. New Avengers number 2. I talked it up so well.
Good job with that.
Sold.
Sorry.
Number 2, that's how many is in
the sale. New previews next week. And remember, previews order due Thursday. Prez, number 5. So we're almost at the end of the first arc.
That's a good one.
Puppet Master, the only reason I marked this down is because they're coming out with issue 7 and their Halloween special. Don't ship both issues the same week, but I am glad they're getting the Halloween issue before Halloween.
How long is that going?
I don't know. But it'll be fun when I talk next week about the books coming in November, how many Halloween books. I'll make sure to highlight all the Halloween books that are coming. But we can't return them because they shipped within 30 days of their shipping date. Scheduled shipping date, yeah. Isn't that fun? Robin, Son of Batman, number 5. Another good one. Everybody's going to want this. The Secret Wars official guide of Marvel Multiverse.
That's not.
That's probably an
Does anybody care?
Book.
It's a $4.99, but it's one of those handbooks. But it's like, is this pre or post Secret Wars? Is this the guide to the multiverse after or the one that was destroyed? So
the important thing is it's a book and it's coming out.
Right, you're correct.
It's actually just a pizza. It's not a book.
Yay!
Pizza kit of toppings. And
that would be awesome.
Adam, we have Spider-Man 2099, number 2, coming just for you. Spire, number 4, that's for me. Superman 45, although the people did not like the last issue of Superman. I've heard a lot of...
No, it was not that great.
That's what I've heard. And Pat's giddy about this one. The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 1. Only the second number 1 this year. It says that right on the cover.
Pat is pretty giddy about this.
I am.
And then Where Monsters Dwell number 5.
Where do they dwell?
Yeah,
we'll find out. This is the last issue. Somewhere within Secret Wars.
I assumed it was on the other side of the wall because that's where all the monsters
are. So that's what we have for next week. Any other comments? Questions?
Where can anybody find you?
If you do have a question.
Okay, there you go. Now, hang on. I'm going to let Josh, because Josh put all the effort into this.
So if you have a question, there is now a spot on the website where you can actually submit a question directly. So you just fill in, put in your name, and put in the question. Those are the only two required fields. And it will shoot.
Social security number, address.
It'll fire an email off directly to the store's email address. So if you go to this PittsburghComics.com and click on the podcast section in the menu, you'll see an item there for submitting a podcast question. And it is a very simple process and tested and works, I think. Yeah,
I responded back to you with a very form letter. You know, we will take it under advisement. I had fun with that.
So, or if you don't want to do that, you can send the email to Colin at Pittsburgh Comics or through Twitter or Facebook.
What's Twitter? What's Twitter?
At PGH Comics.
What's Facebook?
Facebook is /Pittsburgh Comics.
Let's see what else is there. Instagram. What's the website?
I already said that. Okay. It's PittsburghComics.com. Instagram. Also, if you happen to be on PittsburghComics.com, you could check out Colin's other show, Comics Now. One episode has been filmed and put up there. Colin's other show is a TV show for Bethel Park Public Access Cable Network. So check it out. First episode, give Colin some feedback.
If you want to see what I look like, you can go on.
You film your second episode, was it next week?
Probably the week after.
Week after next?
First week of November. I know.
Wasn't that your whole thing about not doing a video cast? Because you were just like, nobody wants to see what I look like.
No, it's not so much that. It's like, oh, look, here's six guys sitting around a table.
Yeah, that's all I
know. You know, it's not exactly dynamic.
Well,
we see that enough
like we're talking about your show.
In comic book men, you know, they're sitting around a table, you know, and we'd have to have 7 cameras so you can get the reaction shots and
that's
stuff.
That's actually kind of boring on that.
So, yeah, it's...
Well, we should just do it like the Legion of Doom and each of us dress in character.
They've talked about... I remember they were on a round table before because of that, I remember.
Yeah, but like comic book men, we would be sitting here and someone would bring in some very rare merchandise. Or...
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, no, just in their little podcast sections, no.
Like that.
I have Spawn number 1.
Yeah.
Ah, do you now?
He gets rare merchandise. That's funny.
No, every once in a while I get something, I go, what? But, you know, never in a, wow, it's more of a...
Oh, speaking of which, did the guy ever bring in the... what was it? Action number one to
Dan. Oh, to Dan? No, I haven't heard, but I'm sure he would have told me.
One of the interesting things that you had come in one time that you turned away was the Tijuana Bibles. You remember that? That was like last year.
I only turned it away because I'm sure she could have gotten a lot of money somewhere, but I wasn't going to give her a lot of money.
It wasn't the one with Silk Spectre in it?
Don't know.
That one was just what a box.
I do believe I kind of flipped through one just because I'd never actually seen one. I'm like, wow, it's kind of cool. Yeah, that was no, just an idea.
Whoa.
Something I knew I've of, but had never seen. Boobies.
You've never seen them before? There's plenty of, I would say there's plenty of books.
My wife always, my wife always comments that that's all I look at all day. I'm like, not really, hon.
Well, then you mentioned that.
On Wednesday, he goes through covers, and he's just, that's exactly what you look for.
Well, actually, though, I could see that. I mean, you know. You do run a comic book shop.
No, my one funny moment was there was a sideshow Scarlet Witch, and to get her out, I think it was basically Adam Hughes designed her or something. But the only way to get her out of the styrofoam, the only part sticking up that you could grab. I remember pulling it out and going, I'm so sorry. Saying I'm sorry to the statue, but they're literally, that was the only way, unless you took the whole thing out and dumped it, but you're not going to do that with a $300 statue. So it was just, that was one of those funny moments. Yeah, I just remember looking at it going,
and then he put it back in and took it out again.
That reminds me, like in Temple of Doom, when Indy's trying to find that secret passage and he's holding the.
Wow, this devolved quickly, didn't it? Dave, Dave,
where have you taken this podcast?
Colin, weird. We are satisfied with
that's
our
care. That's a podcast.
Thank you, Adam. Right. We'll talk at you next week. See ya. Bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe.